All units in place. All weapons ready. We are standing by awaiting orders. Over.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
At the Waterfront Village with my friend, the zombie, Jonathan. You're looking good. Jonathan just got an awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
All right. You're great, zombie. Good times here at the Waterfront Village. Open for the next 11 days.
You know how there are some things that are so bad that they're funny? That's not you. I don't want you thinking that that's you. You're not so bad that you're entertaining somehow, or that you have any worth, or that anybody enjoys listening to you. You're just bad. Just not funny. Just die.
And now.
Why are you playing bongos?
It's Monday. Monday's bongo day.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, we've been doing Monday bongo day for, I don't know, 12 years, 13
absolutely.
Years?
Absolutely.
I thought everybody knew that. I was surprised to hear the guy ask the question, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, wasn't it?
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 23rd of February.
We're going to take your calls for the Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, coming up in about a minute at 1-800-520-1067. Well, I had money on Kevin being late this morning, first of all, so I've already lost that bet.
Oh,
I'm already out cash before the show barely starts.
Just barely.
I
mean, really.
True.
I was running down the hallway, and there was papers and CDs and stuff just flying out onto the floor. Ridiculous.
I just know that it's a struggle for you to return home from Las Vegas on time. I just know that there's a lot that can keep you there.
Yeah, that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that it's a lot slower there? That's the report I keep getting from my dad, is that it's a ghost town compared to what it usually is.
It is, like on a Saturday night when it's normally just shoulder to shoulder. I mean, there's a lot of people there, but it's nothing like it was before.
Is it easier to get down the strip?
Going down the strip is the one busy place with the traffic and everything.
Right.
But inside the individual hotels, it's just way cut down.
Wow.
Way cut down. Kind of a bummer.
And the other bad bet for me is that you guys talked me out of my surefire way to make $1,000 over the weekend. So F you for not allowing me to go to Las Vegas and put the money down on Heath Ledger like I wanted to, if you recall.
No, you would have made
$1,000.
Oh, yeah. If you put
a lot of money, by the way.
If you put $100,000 down.
There couldn't have been a surer bet. You guys mocked
famous
me.
Famous last words.
You guys mocked me for what a horrible idea it was, and I'm telling you that I was this close to going to Las Vegas and proving you wrong.
Sure you
yes,
were.
Yes, you were.
You know, you could have called the chief and had him do it for you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how that would have worked.
This is the part where Bean acts like he would have actually gone someplace and done something.
Yes.
I would have gone to Las Vegas.
Sure.
It was 1 to 100 were the odds that Ralph gave us on Friday. 1 to 100, which means you put $100,000 down and you get $1,000. There's no easier way in the world to make $1,000, right?
What is this would have? Because I remember all of our last words were then, do it then, do it then. Go ahead, go.
No, we didn't were all say. Mocking me. You did. You were saying, oh, you're a terrible bettor. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you're stupid, man.
They, Kevin, Bean, Ralph, Lisa, they all said, you're an idiot, but then do it. If you're talking so big, go.
Because the thing is that you're denying the fact that the $100,000 could have gone away.
But
probably not. But is it
was
worth
there
it?
Any, was there really any chance? Heath
There's
Ledger had
always
won.
Always a chance.
You Heath don't... Ledger had won 40 awards in a row for the Joker. He hasn't lost one. And you know how many of these award shows there are before the Oscars. How is it possible he could have lost?
I would say you had the opportunity to gloat this morning, but since you didn't do it, you can't.
I'm just saying that that's the last time I take the advice of my counsel, you know, with you guys. That's for sure.
Next time,
I'm on my own.
Speaking of gloating, something happened in Vegas that I've never seen before. Right. There were five of us. We were walking through the casino, and we saw a video poker game. So everybody there wanted to – and I hate slot machines, video poker, all that kind of stuff. It just seems like you don't never win.
Yeah.
So they all said, let's pool our money. It's $100 from each person. And then we'll play, and, you know, when we get up to, you know, several, you know, we'll double our money, and then we'll cash out and go. And I was like, no. The other four people did. $100, $100, $100, $100. Royal flush.
which
I've never seen before, ever.
Oh, my God.
That's the 10, jack, queen, king, ace of one suit.
Wow.
And $4,000.
And you were the a-hole in the lottery pool at the office.
Yep.
The only one who didn't put in your buck. And now they're sharing the $100 million lottery.
Hey, guys, I'm part of the group, right? Oh, you didn't put in $100. Well, I know, but...
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
You'd never felt like more of a dweeb than right then.
You'll never see it again either.
Call the attendant. They all come over. People are taking pictures. It just never happens. Never. And I was just standing on the side going, rah, 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 rah.
Sure could have been me.
Sure could have been me.
Enjoying some of that free cash right there.
All right. Let's start with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You get on the air, you get a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
All right. Let's see what this $25 crown card from Burger King is all about. You're finding out this the same time I am. Now you can have it your way with a $1 double cheeseburger at Burger King. 2 100% flame broiled beef patties with 2 slices of melted American cheese for a buck. Quarter pound of mouthwatering beef.
You know how to sell it.
Nice. Only.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, I thought there'd be information about what the $25 crown card is, but I guess it's just $25 worth of stuff at Burger King, I guess is what it is.
Sure. Sounds like a gift card.
Yeah. Which is a good deal, yeah. I mean, it's not $1,000 I should have in my pocket from Las Vegas right now. But
you
at least,
can't talk about that, dude.
All you have to do is get on the phone and give us a call and you win this.
The only way to rub our noses in that is had you done it.
Yeah. You guys all mocked me, so then I didn't. Then I doubted myself.
Then you should what be, you do is listen have. To us.
Then you should really be mad at yourself.
Uh-huh. All right. You guys, yeah.
Let's go to Jose in City of Industry. Hi, Jose.
Hey, what it do? What it do, Lisa May?
What it do, Jose?
Hey, just calling if you guys knew about the new Cheeto line coming out today, Salsa Rojas.
Salsa Rojas. Is this, this is a new type of Cheeto?
It's a new hot Cheeto. It's our new line coming out today, Salsa Rojas. It's a red... A red kind of
plastic,
obviously hot. No Cheeto,
made of chemicals.
We also have Dorito Toros and Dorito.
All right, take
Diablos
it easy, Jose. Take it easy.
Jose, have you tried this Salsa Rojas yet?
I have. They let me try it last week, and it's awesome.
Where does it fall in the pantheon of great products? Is it hotter than? Not as hot as?
It's about the same hotness, but it just has a different flavor. It's kind of more of an enchilada kind of hot.
Oh.
Enchilada kind of
interesting.
It's very, very good. And if you guys wanted to give me an address, maybe I could ship you some.
Well, then we'll take you off the air and give you that address.
Okay,
you rule. Groovy. Thank you.
I just love hot Cheetos. I love you so much.
I don't think there's a product they could make that would supplant my love for the original Flaming Hot Cheetos, but I'm certainly willing to give the Salsa Rojas a try. That's for sure.
They're not going
to
take the Hot Cheetos away from you.
Yeah, I know. Right. I know. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm tempering my excitement because no matter how good it is, it can only be second best.
Let's go to Jamie in Covina. Good morning, Jamie.
What it do, nephew?
What Jaime? Is it Jamie or Jaime?
It's Jaime.
Jaime, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. That's all right, dude. Check it out. I heard you guys talking about that one girl on tell last week.
Yes.
Yeah, I tried looking it up over the weekend, and when I thought I found it, that thing gave me a virus.
Really?
Well, now that's bad news for all of us.
But we yeah, dude,
no, but we don't. I don't know that you found the site we were on.
Well, because I thought it was on the K-Rock site, and I just seen the reaction video, and I was like, "Oh, yeah. Dude, that thing must be so awesome, right?" So I started gagging myself, just like on just watching the reactions. So like, dude, I have to find
right,
it.
Right.
Like, I was on a mission. So once I thought I found my pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, lo and behold, I got a virus.
Got a virus.
Well, we weren't giving out that link. A lot of people were emailing for it, but we really tend not to send porn links to listeners because, we don't have any way of age verification or anything like that. But right. There are several places online where you can find chicks with tails. I don't know if the one you saw is the same one that Mike was watching in that video you described at KRock.com. By the way, there seemed to be some sort of an almost mainstream movie trailer. And it's the other one I sent to you, Mike, with the woman had a tail that was as long as her leg. Did you see that one, you guys?
What?
That was so cartoonish, I didn't get the same reaction. It was weird.
Yeah, because it didn't seem real.
Yeah.
I mean, she had like a dog tail. It could do everything.
Yes.
You were really trying to put Mike over the edge,
weren't
you? It
could swat flies on its face.
Pretty much.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, thank you very much for the call, Jaime. They showed a scene of her in the bathtub. She's laying in the bathtub, and her tail goes over the lip of the tub and down onto the floor.
Sure.
That's how long her tail was.
Bean's the worst at burning someone, by the way, because he titles the email to me like, trailer for a girl with tail movie. Like, I'm not...
But I also know you, and I know you have that thing where you have to look at things, too, yeah. Mike. No, even right. if you're not going to like it, you have to see it.
He does. If you,
I wasn't trying to burn you. I wasn't trying to hide it from you. I wanted you to know what it was so that you would open it.
It was.
If you present something like that to Mike, he literally has no option of not going there.
That's true.
He has to.
He's like,
it.
I don't want to do it, but I got to do it.
Yeah. All right, let's take one more. Let's go to Mark in Redlands. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, what's happening?
What's going on?
What to do? Yeah, so last night during the Oscars, I don't know if many people saw it. My wife actually caught it. They were doing the Bollywood dance and all the excitement and all that. And after the dancers all kind of stood there and they applauded them, one of the dancers directly behind the people talking actually had a nipple slip. And they
No kidding.
Yeah, the Oscars actually caught it, and they blurted it out quick enough, but you could see her reaction as she looked down.
Nice.
I did so, not catch that, and I love Indian boobs.
Yeah, you could.
Good band.
I think we all do. Yeah, you could see her check, look down and see her cleavage hanging out, and then it just went all blurry right by her nib.
Oh, come on, all blurry.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that the Oscar people caught that, by the way. Something like that in the background.
Well, yeah, it sounds like she may have kind of drawn attention to it by looking down and kind of freaking out a little bit.
Yeah. Right. I guess they're on delay now, huh?
I'm sure they are.
Yes, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good eye. Tell your wife good eye.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
Hey, we got a complete Oscar recap, of course, coming up in a few minutes. We got the Showbiz Beat, and we also have Tape After Six. But I guess you can't have one Indian. If there's one Indian around, mm-hmm. you have to have 1,000 Indians, apparently. Because every time an Indian got up on stage, there were 1,000 of them.
Yeah, and that really was a good feeling. I thought every time there's so much positive energy and excitement and everything else, you just go, wow.
It was pretty cool.
I don't know why. I don't have anything else. Let's go to Dwan in Los Angeles. Hello, Dwan.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa.
Hi, Dwan.
This is the way we want to start our week out, with a call from Dwan.
How was your weekend?
Very good, Dwan. How about you?
Fine, thank you. Let me go ahead and sing happy birthday to Drew Barrymore.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday, dear Drew.
Barrymore.
Happy birthday to you. Happy belated birthday, Drew Barrymore.
When was her birthday?
Yesterday.
Ah.
Did you celebrate it all, Dwan? Did you do anything special for Miss Drew?
Nope. I was doing something else. I watched half of an awards show.
You watched half of the Academy Awards?
Oh, yeah.
Why did you stop?
Because I was watching something else, one of my favorite shows on my DVR.
Okay, I got it.
Okay,
you.
All right. Well, I mean, look, there's no one alive who saw it all, so no one can blame you for bailing out after half. I mean, you can't watch it all.
Uh-uh.
It's like eating a 100-ounce steak. It's not possible.
Yeah.
Okay, Dwan. Glad you called, buddy. You take care, all right?
You too.
All right, bye-bye now.
Okay, wow, did he get sad. It sounded like we really bummed him out there, didn't
we? No, you know what it is that he has really a lot of interest in what he's saying, and we've never been able to interest him at all in anything we say.
That's a good point.
As soon as we start talking, he just checks out.
That's a good point.
It's kind of depressing. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Like Bean mentioned, we have an Academy Awards recap coming up just after 6 o'clock with some highlights from the show.
Okay.
Yes. We have tickets for you to go see The Watchmen.
Ooh.
Which we can't wait for. I guess it comes out March 6th, but we have a screening for you to go before then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have Adam Carolla. Guy you may have heard of.
Interesting.
On the program. I don't know what he's been doing since he was on our show last, but...
Yeah, we haven't been able to get him lately. It's weird. He's available today. I don't know what's going on.
We can find out. We have Spencer Pratt on the program today, of course, because I don't know if you saw this list, but there was a top 10 pussies list that was out. And he was number one.
Well,
how about
good
that?
For him.
We're going to call St. Lucia and try and track down Amy Winehouse and see if she's going to make it to Coachella.
Does sound like she's never going to leave the island again.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Good.
Talk about all the celebrities. And we have K-Rock's World Tour Destination number 4. We're going to do the grand prize drawing to send somebody to Coldplay in Norway.
Can you please stop talking about Norway?
Yes, we will, right after 7:20, when we announce Destination number 5. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. A quick break, and we'll come right back with the Showbiz Beat.
Ralph Garman, wisely on vacation this week. That means he is sound asleep right now, so he will not hear the first Showbiz Week... Huh? That's the way we're going to start. That's right there. That's how it's going to go. Huh? The first showbiz beat for the new week, but it's all about the Slumdog Millionaire.
And the Oscar goes to Slumdog Millionaire.
Moment ago, Kevin, you said how happy you were to see that movie win, and I guess it's great when a great movie gets recognized, but it sure makes it less fun to watch the Oscars when you have a year where one movie is winning so many awards, and when you have a year where virtually every single favorite in every single major category wins as well.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of surprise.
No.
Yeah, not a lot of drama, not a lot of excitement, but I mean, I think most people will be pleased with the awards that were won because they're the ones that, you know, a lot of people expected to win and thought, frankly, deserved to win. I mean, you know, I don't know anyone who hasn't seen Slumdog Millionaire who didn't walk out saying it was, if not the best, certainly one of the best movies that they saw in 2008.
And you know what, you know what was really cool, though, is that you get the idea that a lot of these actors and directors, and a lot of them are excited and they feel like they really should be overly excited, so they really try to, it's not fake, but it's just they're not quite as excited as everybody expects them to be.
Uh-huh.
But in this particular case with Slumdog, they seem genuinely just out of their minds happy.
They're just happy to be out of India. That's all that's going on there. They'd be just as happy out in front on Hollywood Boulevard. They just don't want to be in Mumbai, it sounds like.
Danny Boyle's such a, you know, great.
He was awesome, wasn't he?
Funny, just happy guy. Yeah. I like to see that.
Definitely.
Sure seems like it. Most of the speeches, and don't get us started on how many speeches we had to watch from people we don't know and don't care about on this show last night, which was about 2.5 hours of it.
Yep.
But most of the speeches, even from the stars, they're excited, but it's not very emotional, and it doesn't seem very spontaneous. I think maybe because we've had so many awards, they've already won a bunch of them this season, and this is just another one. And some of it is, you know, it's so carefully rehearsed that you don't get much spontaneity. I mean, someone like Kate Winslet, you can see the emotion in her. You know, she's genuinely excited, but a lot of the other ones, you know, it just seems like they're kind of going through the motions a little bit. But I guess you never know what you're going to do when you're in that moment when you're actually up there standing there with the statue. But we do have a complete recap of the show, including a bunch more tape coming up after the news at 6 o'clock. By the way, the Razzies were also this weekend. I think they have those the night before. And in case you're wondering, The Love Guru was Worst Picture at the Razzies this year.
Oh man, did that deserve it?
Love
well
Guru,
done.
Yeah. Which, by the way, saw a couple of different times during the Oscar telecast last night. Didn't expect to see any clips from The Love Guru, but they tried to do some things differently to include, you know, comedies and action movies and things like that that normally aren't showing at the Oscars. But I'm sure Mike Myers cringed at home wherever he is. Every time they showed another clip from The Love Guru, I'm sure he thought, please let it go away.
I'm pleasantly surprised anytime somebody tries something different. Whether it works or not, you got to give them credit for trying.
They did, yeah.
And I thought it worked. I mean, I thought it was really pretty good.
They did a lot of things right, I think. There were some things that did not, I think that felt pretty flat. And, I mean, the biggest problem is the hours that go by with the sound editing and the choreography and all the cinematography and all those awards that you really don't care about, that they desperately need to take our advice and move over to cable. But a lot of the stuff that they did well.
Or I thought they could do that thing where you speed up the video really super fast.
Oh.
And they run up and then it's done in like a minute and a half.
That'd be funny.
So maybe they could think
about
that.
That's how I watched it at home.
Sure, yeah. That's the best way to watch it.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight got a few mentions last night for various reasons. Of course, you know, a lot of people, that was their favorite movie of last year. It did not get, it only won in some minor awards. It was announced over the weekend, by the way, and maybe Warner Brothers would trade this for an Oscar. It did cross the $1 billion worldwide mark at the box office.
Would they trade that for an Oscar? No.
That's what I'm saying. I think they'd rather have this than an Oscar. I mean, $1 billion for the Dark Knight. It was up for 8 Academy Awards last night, by the way. I think it won 2 or 3. It's in 4th place on the list of all-time box office winners. Titanic still number 1. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, which was the 3rd movie in that trilogy, is number 2. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, number 3 on that list. And then the Batman after that. By the way, you know how they were doing so much to keep the presenters under wraps? They didn't mention ahead of time, like they usually do, a lot of the people who were going to be presenting. I kept expecting Christian Bale to walk out, and I kept thinking how cool that would be if they got him to make his first public appearance at the Oscars since his meltdown.
That's and then a great idea.
Start yelling at people would have been awesome.
That was another thing I noticed, by the way, is a guy like Christian Bale would have been a welcome sight on the stage. There were so many A-listers this year that weren't there. We had all that talk about the drinking pool on Friday. Where the hell was Jack Nicholson? Have you ever seen an Oscars in your lifetime that Jack Nicholson hasn't been at in the front row?
No, I haven't. That's true.
No Tom Cruise, no Russell Crowe, Julia Roberts, Johnny Depp, Tom Hanks, Denzel Washington. I mean, it was unbelievable the number of big stars that weren't there last night. I don't know what that's all about, but they were missed.
I got to tell you, I loved, loved, loved Batman. Probably one of my top three movies last year. But Iron Man was my favorite movie last year.
Mine too. I love that.
And did it
get
anything?
Not that I saw.
I didn't see it get anything. Yeah. I thought that was a really great movie.
Yeah, not that I saw. Speaking of movies, box office over the weekend, it's no surprise that the new Tyler Perry film, Madea Goes to Jail, was number one. I guess I shouldn't have been, but I was a little bit surprised to see that it made $41 million over the weekend.
Damn.
I know there wasn't a lot of competition in terms of new films to compete with, but that's a huge opening weekend.
I saw him on Larry King. Mm-hmm. You know, I love Larry King because he doesn't know anything about anyone or any current events. He's losing his mind. He's doing it on TV.
Yeah.
Who are you? You're the one who sang that Kiss the Girl song?
And he was on that show, and he was really, really a great guy and super likable. And now I'm completely happy for his success. Good for him.
Absolutely.
You
going to
go see his new Ernest movie, though?
No.
He doesn't need Kevin, by the way.
No,
he's doing
he doesn't.
Fine without him.
No, but I mean, there's a certain amount of people that go, oh, dear God, what's this? Why is it doing? He's really, really a good guy, it looks like.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. Yeah, and he certainly has carved out his niche in the marketplace with movies that people want to see. That's for sure. Black people love dressing up like women, though, and making funny voices. Yeah. I don't know what it is with Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy and Tyler Perry, but $41.1 million in its debut over the weekend. Here's a movie that's hanging around. The Liam Neeson Taken, number two at the box office, $11.4 million. Coraline was number three. He's Just Not That Into You 4. Slumdog Millionaire 5. I expect we can see that to move up a little bit next week. Friday the 13th at number 6, Confessions of a Shopaholic, number 7 at the box office. Paul Blart Mall Cop, number 8,
wow.
Fired Up at number 9. I know, the Paul Blart movie,
yep,
which came out Thanksgiving 2 years ago. Fired Up, the new comedy, opened this weekend at number 9, and then The International at number 10 for the box office.
I saw The International. I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Okay.
I liked it.
And that's Clive Owen, yep. And who? Who else is in there?
She's beautiful.
Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
You guys watch the Snoop Dogg reality show?
No.
No.
Would you be surprised if I told you that he had Paris Hilton on the show and that they broke into a freestyle rap?
That scares me.
Nope.
I did see some commercial with the two of them together, so I knew she was going to be on it.
There's no way that what she's doing is freestyle. I'm sure they wrote it out ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
She's not exactly a rapper.
Yeah.
But here's what Paris Hilton sounds like on Snoop Dogg's show, rapping.
You know what I really want to do?
So dope.
I want to freestyle with you.
All right.
You start it off. I'm going to get the end.
Yo, what's up? My name's P. Hizzle. I'm chilling in the Clizzle with my homeboy, Snoop Dizzle. He's sexy. He's fine. He is the man of our time.
Yeah.
I love him. I love being in the club. I'm serving drinks. And I'm a thug.
Yeah. Sweet P. Ooh-wee. Do it to him, dog after dog, baby girl. Don't stop, won't stop, can't stop. Look in your eyes, look in my eyes, no surprise. Sweet P in the D-O-double-G-Y.
Hey.
Hey.
Love that.
Hey.
Oh, God.
Oh. By the way, how stoned is Snoop Dogg in that clip?
Yeah.
She sounded a little stoned, too.
Somebody's going to tell him today that Paris Hilton was on his show and rapping. He's going to go, what?
Oh, no.
Tupac just killed himself again in his grave. Yeah. Going crazy.
She is a thug, though. We can all agree on that.
I'll tell you what Paris Hilton isn't is a thug. I'll tell you that.
I want you all to die.
I don't blame you. Today's celebrity birthdays. I think she is going to be one of the most talented actresses of her time when she grows up. She's great now. Dakota Fanning, only 15 years old today, by the way. Doesn't she seem like she's going to be a Jodie Foster, like she's going to be around forever?
She's 15 going on 25.
Yeah,
she is. Oscar-winning actor Peter Fonda turns 69 today. Here's a name you know, Mike, because you know all these guys. Mark Price. Mark Price, your TV star from the 80s, played who?
Mark Price.
He's 41 years old today. He was Skippy on Family Ties.
Oh!
He was Skippy.
Really?
Wow.
He's only 40?
That is his claim to fame.
41.
Yeah.
Kristen Davis from Sex and the City is 44. Patricia Richardson from Home Improvement turns 58 years old today. And that is the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
So you do Honolulu. Who comes to those comedy shows? Who's the? Because they're all tourists, right?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Nope.
Well done. Well done. Awesome. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock Monday morning. We'll try to find Amy Winehouse coming up in just a few minutes. And we've got tickets for a special K-Rock advanced screening of The Watchmen coming up later this hour. All right, let's give it a letter grade to everyone in the room who saw the Oscars last night. I say B minus, I think, is what I give the Oscars
Lisa?
Last night.
C.
I think what your expectations are going in makes a huge difference on how much you enjoy it.
I did like all the new things they tried, but they also slowed things down a lot, like the way that they introduced the nominees for Best Actor and Best Actress.
Which I thought
was kind of cool.
Unique.
It was unique, and you could tell that it meant a lot to the nominees to have these icons. That was pretty, well, I'll take that back. That was pretty cool, actually. It took a long time.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it, too. It was a great idea, and it brought star power. For folks who didn't see it, for every acting award, they brought out five previous winners in that acting award, and each spoke to one of the nominees of this year's event. And some of them were good. Shirley MacLaine, for instance, looked like she sincerely meant her remarks, you know, to her person, to Anne Hathaway. But a lot of them were just kind of boring, too.
Yeah.
It definitely slowed things down. It brought star power, but slowed things down. But I'm also with Kevin, where you got to give him some credit for trying something different, too.
Sure. I think I expected a D or an E or perhaps an F. And so I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was a B-ish.
There was a lot of music.
Yeah.
A lot of singing.
There's a lot there always is, and that's one of my big, you know, problems with it. But
didn't need all that.
One of the wild cards of the show last night was it was the first time in decades that they had a non-comedian hosting. It's always if you want to call Whoopi Goldberg a comedian, but it's always, a Jon Stewart or somebody like that who comes out and does it. By the way, give Jimmy Kimmel a shot at it one year is what I'm saying, ABC. Give Jimmy Kimmel a freaking shot at it last night.
Yeah.
But Hugh Jackman came out last night. He was, he was working his ass off. No one tries harder than Hugh Jackman, that's for sure. Here's a little of his opening remarks in the monologue of the Oscars last night.
But as you know, this is my first year as host, but that's not the only thing that is different this year. Everything is being downsized because of the recession. Next year, I'll be starring in a movie called New Zealand.
Okay, see, because he was in Australia, and somewhere the Flight of the Conchords guys are seething right now. You know that.
And due to cutbacks, the Academy said they didn't have enough money for an opening number. Now, you know what? I'm going to do one anyway. Yeah. Because, you know, that's just the way I roll.
I just love hearing Hugh Jackman say that's the way I roll, by the way. So they did. I mean, it kind of made sense. It was kind of funny. They did, you know, their version of a low budget with props made in the garage kind of thing with pizza boxes and things like that. They did a musical number, you know, which Billy Crystal used to do so well back when he was hosting it back in the day. And he sang a bunch of songs about, and that's the thing about him is, I mean, he is a musical theater entertainer. Lisa, I thought of you so many times last night. You must have been in heaven to see all that singing and dancing going on.
I did love that. I love Hugh Jackman. He's awesome. He did a good job.
He did a real good job. He called up Anne Hathaway, and they made it look like it was a surprise that he just dragged her up on stage, and they did a little bit of a musical number of them playing. Hugh Jackman was playing David Frost, and he wanted Anne Hathaway to play Richard Nixon. This was a tribute to the movie Frost Nixon, which was nominated for Best Picture.
Why didn't you burn the tapes?
I don't know what I'm supposed to say here.
18 minutes, all erased.
I mean, it's an honor. I just would have loved a heads up.
America deserves an apology.
Franklin Jello was sitting right next to me.
See, because he's the guy who really played Nixon in the movie. So, I think Hugh Jackman did a terrific job last night. I mean, considering he wasn't a comedian, I thought he was very entertaining every time he was on the screen. And such a super likable guy,
I was surprised by him, too. I thought he did a lot better job.
No real surprises in the acting categories last night. Kevin, I thought of you a couple times when David Bowie came out to present awards. I'm sorry, Tilda Swinton came out to present awards last night.
Wow.
Can you tell the difference?
She never, ever tries.
It's worse than that.
All.
Tilda Swinton must sit in front of the mirror and go, how can I be uglier?
What's the most hideous thing I can put on my body?
That woman is just a beast.
I need to figure out a way to give myself a haircut that looks like I used a Flo-Bee. I need to screw with my makeup and wear just bizarre costumes. I mean, I don't even know what that thing was. It was sort of like they just wrapped her in fabric and pushed her out there, right?
Although yes. I think it's probably kind of like we do, where we don't really care what we look like because we've learned through our lives that no one's looking at us for
okay,
fashion or anything else.
But so we're saying, not presenters at the Oscars. If we were, we would say, hey, little help, tell me what to wear.
But I'm saying there are a lot of times where I wear stuff just because I know it's going to annoy specifically my wife, but other people.
I think she's like you?
Well, that's hard to say, but I'm saying there's no possible way that she's trying to look good.
No,
is there?
No.
I mean, that's not just a huge mistake.
And you notice Philip Seymour Hoffman does the same thing. He had like the black knit cap on.
He was really freezing. He was freezing in there last night. It's the only thing I could
do. He just got finished robbing a 7-Eleven.
Here's Tilda giving away the first award of the night for Best Supporting Actress.
The Oscar goes to Penelope Cruz. Oh, it's not going to be 45 seconds. I can say that right now. Has anybody ever fainted here? Because I might be the first one. Thank you so much to the Academy.
Penelope Cruz, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this or not, pretty hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, please faint.
I also knew it was going to be a long, long night, and it ended up being almost exactly 3.5 hours of Oscars last night. When she came out, the first winner, and came out and said, it's not going to be 45 seconds, and then she proceeded to talk for like
those of you that don't know, they give you that limit, and that's when they start playing you off at the music.
Yeah. So,
that's when they should start playing you off at the music. They don't. They just let you go as long as you want to go, apparently. All right. Here's a memo to the Academy. If Hugh Jackman won't do it next year, why not think about your little friend Tina Fey and her little friend Steve Martin as hosts for the Academy Awards.
The only funny people last night.
They are writers, first and foremost, comedy writers, and they, I mean, there's too much to pull. I mean, I don't even know how to pick from their presentation because they were so, so very funny last night. They came out and gave the Oscars for the Screenwriting Awards for the screenplay and for the adapted screenplay.
Good evening. I'm Steve Martin.
And I'm Tina Fey.
And I'm Steve Martin.
It has been said that to write is to live forever.
The man who wrote that is dead.
Yet we all know the importance of writing because every great movie begins with a great screenplay.
Or a very good idea for the poster.
They were very funny. Let's take one call real quick before we take a break and come back with more Oscar highlights from last night's show. Elizabeth is in Orange on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Liz, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. This is actually my third year calling you guys about the Oscars.
Wow, you're like our official correspondent.
I personally feel that way, yes.
All right.
I am calling to say you guys are wrong, wrong, wrong. It was no more of a less than B-plus grading. The only two bad things I can say, one, I don't understand how John Legend has a singing contract. Or a recording contract because he cannot sing to save his life.
He's kind of boring to me as well, but I think you and I are in the minority, Elizabeth. I think he's very well respected.
Oh, it has to be because he's a minority, Kevin? Is that what you're saying? He can't sing because he's a black man.
Elizabeth and I are minorities, is what I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
He probably is a great singer, but last night, no.
Yeah, boring.
And the thing that really upset me was the memoriam.
Me too.
Oh, the death march?
You couldn't see him.
You couldn't see them. They were zooming in and out.
Yeah, super annoying.
Could I suggest, too, that they didn't put Heath Ledger? Did they?
Because he died before last year's Oscars. That's why.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was on last year's show.
Oh, how about that?
All right. Let me explain, Elizabeth, for folks who didn't watch the show last night. Every year they do the In Memoriam where they do a tribute to the people in the industry who've died over the past 12 months since the last Oscars show. And they usually just do it to some a song, you know, a recorded song or some sort of orchestral music. Well, last night, in the spirit of trying to mix things up, they had Queen Latifah come out, All Hail the Queen, and she sang I'll Be Singing You. Okay, so she's singing live and the orchestra's playing while they're showing all the clips. But they had the clips kind of like you were watching them on a TV screen somewhere on the stage. So Lisa's right. It was very hard in many cases to see who it is we were honoring in the In Memoriam clip. And she's singing live, yet that's not going to stop people from applauding when actors and directors and producers come on that they really like. So now she's trying to sing and she's trying to compete with people in the audience that are applauding for Sydney Pollack. And you can't stop singing because, you know, you're keeping up with the music. It was very awkward.
Yeah, whole that didn't work at all. I would have liked if just fill up the screen with the people and have total silence. They said they were going to turn off the mics.
Although I would like to say again that the fact that they really tried something incredibly different, yeah. I give them credit.
Absolutely.
May not have worked. But I give them credit for at least trying to change it up some.
I agree.
But I'm a little bit surprised that in the meeting they didn't say, hey, if the Queen's out there singing, what are we going to do when Paul Newman's face comes up on the screen and the place erupts in huge applause? Isn't that going to be a conflict? And it seems like they should have seen that coming. Maybe they did, and they just figured they'd go with it anyway. But hey, look, if that's your biggest complaint, Elizabeth, you got to be pretty happy with the show last night.
I was going to say exactly. I'm nitpicking because I thought the speeches, I'm an emotional person, but all the people from India and especially people from Japan, I mean, it was a fantastic show. Hugh Jackman should be praised. I don't remember an Oscars that I enjoyed this much.
Okay, take it easy.
It was a fantastic
Elizabeth.
All right, good times.
Let's not get crazy. All right.
Elizabeth, we'll talk to you in 1 year, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, okay. We got to take a quick break. We got a bunch more tape, but we'll take some more phone calls if we have time. We got Jennifer Aniston and Jack Black. We got Natalie Portman and Ben Stiller. We got the speech from the guy from Japan, which was one of the great speeches in the history of the Oscars.
The
Seth Rogen and James Franco. We got more from Hugh Jackman. So much more. We'll continue with our Oscar coverage right after this in the Wolf Family.
I'm saying, would it hurt Tilda Swinton just to take a shower?
she doesn't look clean either. You're right about that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous Carrick. By the way, if you're a fan of The Watchmen, if you're one of those guys who has been waiting for that movie to come out for years and years and years, we're going to send you to the world premiere. Not the K-Rock screening, the actual world premiere with the stars on March the 3rd. All you have to do is stump Kevin, who's the undisputed champion of the world when it comes to Watchmen trivia. I mean, he is a guy who has immersed himself in all things Watchmen for 10 years now.
So nobody expect to win is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you can try. I mean, if you just want to at least spar with the master, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Come up with a Watchmen trivia question. If you just get lucky and stump Kevin, we'll give you tickets to the K-Rock premiere, the world premiere, excuse me. All right. Talking about the Oscars last night. One of the, it's always interesting to see how they pair people up to come out and make presentations last night. Did you see James Bond come out on a horse? Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't.
No.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It was Daniel Craig with Sarah Jessica Parker. Sorry about that.
Oh, you.
Tim writes in, listening online from Columbus. Hey, guys, Sarah Jessica Parker, you got to admit, she looked good last night if you hold your thumb in front of your face and then over her face when she was on the TV, but at least she's got a great body.
So. I think she looked better than usual, like she was an attractive horse.
Yeah.
She's a good-looking horse, yeah. Right. All right, let's. Here's a few more clips from last night's Academy Awards. We promoted ahead of time that we would be hearing the best speech of the night. There were a couple that were really good. This one is a Japanese guy, and he won for Best Animated Short last night. And you're going to listen at first and go, well, I don't get what's so great about that. But the man nails it at the end.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Academy. Thank you, Animation. Thank you, どうもありがとう、ミスター・ロボット。
A Mr. Roboto reference. Come
that was
on.
Awesome.
Those are lyrics from a Styx song from the 80s, which is the last thing you expect to hear from a Japanese animator up on stage at the Oscars. What'd you guys think of the Natalie Portman Ben Stiller bit where they came out and did the cinematography award?
I thought it was – that's the one where he was making fun of Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
He came out looking with the big bushy beard and all distracted with the sunglasses
on.
Chewing gum.
I thought that was funny, but I have a dislike of Joaquin Phoenix for this whole thing.
No, I thought it was funny, too. But as Mike said earlier, it seemed like he wasn't as committed to it as he should have been. Like, there's more he could have done with that.
I don't know. I mean, he was parodying Joaquin on Letterman almost exactly. I don't know what else he could have done besides wander around and stare at the stage. Here's a little bit of them again. Ben Stiller comes out. And by the way, they said in the announcement as they brought him out that his movies have made $4 billion in Ben Stiller's career. By the way, you don't necessarily always think of him as a huge star, but I guess he is. Here he is playing Joaquin Phoenix with Natalie Portman.
Cinematographers are the unsung heroes of movies. They live and breathe shadow and light. Their work is the bedrock of every production. I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. You're chewing gum at the Oscars.
Okay, take it out. Go ahead, you're doing fine. Go ahead.
And he puts his gum on the podium. Maybe the first time in Oscar history, by the way.
He could have rapped, by the way, if you want to say what he could have done more.
There
he could
you
have
go.
Rapped. Could
have rapped poorly.
Kevin, I thought about you through the tribute to musical theater that they had, or musical movies, I guess I should say, last night. Hugh Jackman, of course, he's a Tony Award-winning, you know, actor on Broadway. He comes out with a bunch of dancers and singers. Zach and Vanessa were in it. The chick from the Mamma Mia was in it. And Beyonce was his duet partner. Here's a little bit of that. You're the one that I want.
How do you solve a problem like Maria?
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town?
And all that jazz.
There's a reason that they don't make very many musicals anymore, because people don't want to go see them.
Yeah.
Right?
That was a bathroom break for me.
Oh, really?
Right?
Yep. I actually stopped and watched that.
As soon as that happened, I was like, I am out.
That's some great music.
Sure. From 1981.
How much do you need to hear anyone singing this from The Sound of Music on the Oscars in 2009, though, Lisa?
I don't need it, but I do not enjoy it.
I mean, I guess they were playing to the strengths of the host. That's why they did it, is because they know he can sing and dance. And Beyonce was one of those surprises that you didn't know about until ahead of time. And
she looked
she's
great,
good.
And she sang wonderfully.
She's good. Yeah. All right, a couple of the big acting awards last night. No surprise, her sixth try, she finally gets an Oscar. Here is last year, or a couple years winner, Marion Cotillard, who is a former Best Actress winner, given the award to Kate Winslet, who won for The Reader.
And the Oscar goes to Kate Winslet. Okay, that fainting thing, Penelope. I'd be lying if I haven't made a version of this speech before. I think I was probably 8 years old and staring into the bathroom mirror, and this would have been a shampoo bottle. Well, it's not a shampoo bottle now.
That's the kind of excitement and emotion you didn't get very much of from last night. And Kate Winslet seemed like she really meant it. And she was really, really happy to be there.
Yeah, you could tell she was super excited, but I don't need to hear about a shampoo bottle.
Well, I think she was saying it's a dream from when she was a little kid.
I understand what she was saying.
Oh, Best Actor, if there was one that people were having trouble calling, although I think most people thought Sean Penn was the favorite, it was going to be the Best Actor. It was between him and Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. Mm-hmm. And apparently they're very good friends, and Sean gave a very gracious shout-out to Mickey Rourke at the end of his speech, too. But here he is accepting his award in a very funny speech, which you don't expect from Sean Penn, too, from former Best Actor winner Michael Douglas.
And the Oscar goes to Sean Penn.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns. I did not expect this, but I want it to be very clear that I do know how hard I make it to appreciate me often.
People kind of
so funny.
People hold their nose and vote for Sean Penn. Yes. Yeah, he's a dick, but he's such a good actor.
Yep.
So I guess that's how he ends up winning. Slumdog Millionaire, of course, the big winner of the night. I think it won 8 for the 10 it was up. Let's play one more. The shortest speech in Oscar history is how it was advertised last night. And the reason it was so short is this guy didn't win an Oscar. Here's what happened. The best documentary was for Man on a Wire, which is that documentary movie that was made about the guy who walked across the wires at the World Trade Center back in the 1970s.
Right.
Well, that dude, Philippe Pinault, I think is his name, he was there last night. He comes running up onto the stage with the two guys who won the Oscars for making the movie and gives this speech.
The shortest speech in Oscar history. Yes.
Which I thought was awesome. And then he proceeded to do a magic trick with a coin, and then he proceeded to balance his Oscar on his chin.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that sounds like a joke. If you didn't watch it, that sounds like Bean's kidding. That he really did that.
He did that, yeah.
He did a magic trick with a coin.
That Werner Herzog, the director, gave him. And balanced his Oscar on his chin, which is not something that you see very often.
That's correct.
Anyway, those are some of the highlights. The show may still be going on. I'm not sure. I tune out after about 7 or 8 hours, but at least the award season is over, and we couldn't be happier with it. So you were a little kid when you first fell in love with the Watchmen comic, or what's the story? What's your deep background on this? That makes you an expert, Kevin.
Here is the comedy that the guys are banking on here. I don't really read a lot. I start things, and then I have ADD, so I go, all right, I'm bored, move on. And I've started 7,000 books, and yeah. I've finished, I don't know, none. So Bean gave me The Watchmen, the entire series on a book, mm-hmm. For Christmas, which was 2 months ago. So they mm-hmm. started asking me questions on Friday, saying who was this, who was that. And I didn't really finish that as much as not finish it.
It's a comic book.
Right.
How long could you read the whole thing in a couple of hours,
right? Dude, I literally, 15 minutes is my top amount for anything. Even books I like, 15 minutes.
Now, you're excited about the movie,
yes,
though.
I am.
When you see the trailer for the movie, you're so in.
That looks
you're
awesome.
Mr. Dark Knight, Mr. Iron Man. The Watchmen is right there for you,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
But in terms of maybe the complicated backstory and detail and interaction of all of the various superheroes, you may not have them all committed to memory.
I think this is, first of all, clear. And second of all, had I read it entirely, I wouldn't know these answers.
If you had the book in front of you now and could reference it, you might have trouble with that. All right. Well, let's find out, because here's what we got. A pair of passes to the world premiere of The Watchmen, Monday, March 3rd, which is 3 days before it opens everywhere on March 6th. It's at the Grauman's Chinese with all the stars. All you have to do is call us now, 1-800-520-1067. If you can, stump Kevin.
You watch all the time, him?
Wow.
All right. Let's go to Brandon in La Crescentia on line two to get us started here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Brandon, you're a big Watchmen fan, I take it?
Absolutely.
All right. Good
my luck. Question
now,
let me just say
at the beginning, that how many pair of tickets do we have? Is this a drawing or?
We have, we can give away up to seven.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so then if you stump me, you win automatically?
That's right.
Yeah. All right. You win, Brandon. Congratulations. We're going to put you
on
hold.
Let's let him ask the question and just see. Maybe you know it. It could be one of the ones that you know.
All right, Kevin. What is Night Owl's real name?
What is Night Owl's real name? Is it that gay-looking little Batman dude?
Yeah, that would be him.
I don't know.
Dan Dreeberg.
What is it?
Dan Dreeberg.
Well, that's not much of a name.
Well,
Dan Dreeberg.
I tried to lob you a softball.
Dude.
Congratulations, Brandon. You're going to the world premiere of The Watchmen. You have been able to stump Kevin. Let's try Larry in Monterey Park. Hey, Larry, you're on the air. Stump Kevin. Go ahead.
Morning, Kevin Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Good luck. I'm on fire.
Who was the first Silk Spectre?
Who was the first Phil Spectre?
Silk Spectre.
Silk Spectre. I'm going to go then with Phil Spectre. That will be my answer. Is that correct?
No.
No. He's got the hair for a superhero, doesn't he?
Close.
What's the answer?
That would be Jupiter.
That'd
be Jupiter.
Congratulations. You're going to the Watchmen, too. Let's try Lewis in Fullerton on line five. Hey, Lou. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Stump Kevin.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Good luck, man. I'm on fire.
Hey, here's my question. What symbol does Dr. Manhattan have on his forehead?
There you go. Now, this is one, all you have to do is look at the book, and you'll know this one. You don't even have to read it. You just have to look at it.
I would say a swastika. No?
It's a helium atom.
Helium atom. Oh, how can I get that wrong?
Swastika, helium atom, they're about the same.
Hydrogen atom.
Oh, all of a sudden, Louis doesn't know.
Look who's not so sure of himself.
Pants.
Interesting.
All right,
we're going to send you to the Watchmen anyway, Grauman's Chinese on Monday, March 3rd. Let's try Dwayne in Corona on line six.
All right.
Hey, Dwayne, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stump Kevin.
Good morning, boys. Yeah, what was the name of the first supergroup before the Watchmen?
The Ween. No?
No, it was the Minutemen.
The Minutemen.
So close. Could have been Ween. Could have been Ween, just wasn't. Mm. Dylan is in Pasadena on line seven. Hi, Dylan. Watchmen tickets up for grabs. Stump Kevin.
What was the name of Ozymandias' genetically altered pet?
Kelly Osborne. What?
I don't think it's Ozzy Osborne that he's talking about.
He said I'm sorry. What was it?
It was Bubastis.
Of course, Bubastis.
Yeah.
You people are dorks.
Congratulations, Dylan. Let's do one more. Mike is in Glendora. He's on line eight. Hi, Mike. Watchmen tickets, world premiere, red carpet with all the stars, and director Zack Snyder. Go ahead. Stump Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
Good.
My question is, which superhero had a prostitute for a mother?
Which superhero had a prostitute for a mother? Melissa Rivers.
That is accurate, actually, but I don't think they're in the Watchmen. Oh. They're not in the Watchmen, though.
Oh,
you're right, except for that.
All right.
It was Rorschach.
Rorschach.
Rorschach,
is that
yeah.
the dude that sounds like Batman? Or is that the ink spot dude?
He's the ink blot guy.
I don't know why that happens. All right, congratulations, Mike. You did the impossible. You stumped me.
I'm shocked, by the way. I'm really surprised. But we do have tickets you can win all week. So if you're a Watchmen fan, we've got them for you every morning this week here on the World Famous K-Rock.
Can you stump Kevin? Can you stump Kevin? Let's all stump Kevin now.
You
you watch all the time?
I got to tell you something.
Y'all do Amp FM, Amp Radio. Welcome
no,
to it.
No,
10,000 songs in a row.
No. It's still the world famous lyric. By the way, Amp wouldn't play 311. That song is too old, man. There's no way they play something that old.
That's true.
So, yeah, it's
not
K-Rock. Right. Spencer Pratt is a man pussy. We've got that story, and we'll talk to him coming up after 7. And our old friend Adam Carolla with his triumphant return to the Kevin and Bean Show. That's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Rob's on vacation this week. I think we have sufficiently covered the Oscars. I don't know what that was, but we've sufficiently covered the Oscars with Slumdog Millionaire's big night last night. Let's talk about some other things in the showbiz news, including we world premiered on the Friday afternoon Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, a brand new song from Depeche Mode, which has just got the internets on fire with how much people are loving Wrong is the name of the new song.
The internets?
The internets, yes. In case you're wondering, the band's official website says that they are going on tour this year, which is great news for Mode fans. I've had the chance to see them several times, and they put on a great show. July 24th in Toronto is when the show is going to kick off. The dates are going to run all through the summer and wrap up September 5th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The new album is called Sounds of the Universe. New Depeche Mode is going to be in stores on April the 21st.
That'd be sweet.
U2 is another album that a lot of people are looking forward to this summer. And as you know, we world premiered a whole bunch of tracks for you on Friday morning. And people were going, hey, you know, we kept an eye on the King of Mexico. It wasn't him. How did the U2 album leak? Because, you know, they do everything they can. The record companies do everything they can. You know, if they need to play it for somebody, they don't get a copy. They just bring them down to a room and they play it for them. They just do everything and make sure to keep the tracks off the internet. Do everything you can so that we can, I don't know, sell a couple of copies when the goddamn thing comes out. Well, here's a taste of U2. This is from the title track of No Line on the Horizon, and then I'll tell you how it leaked. Actually, we're looking for the U2 No Line on the Horizon song. No line on the horizon. Is going to be out on March the 3rd. Guess how it leaked, you guys?
How did it leak? Bono did something?
Their record label accidentally put it up online and made it available for download.
Are you kidding?
Universal Music Group's Australian branch released it online for over 2 hours. It was available for sale and download on their website. And, of course, by then, it was all over all the sites, all over the internet.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they screwed themselves. They actually released
when Linkin Park was when Linkin Park was coming out with their new one, Mike Shinoda asked me if I wanted to hear part of it. And I was like, sure, of course. I thought he was going to give me a CD. I had to go down to the studio, listen to it, and they don't give you anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And they
pretty
much search you to make sure you don't have a, you know, recording device.
Even someone like you, who's a friend.
Do you remember when we premiered the Linkin Park CD? I think it was Minutes of Midnight, and they had to send a courier with like the lock box. It was a big deal.
It was like a briefcase that was locked.
Met him on the freeway.
That's so funny that somebody in the record company did it.
It's hilarious. I don't know if somebody's going to get fired or what, but I mean, these days, the minute it becomes available, people are going to download for free 100 times more than people are going to buy, right? I mean, pretty much that's the formula, right?
Sure.
Well, it's going to be out on March 3rd anyway. Movies, of course, big movie weekend thanks to the Oscars. Also big at the box office thanks to Tyler Perry. I don't know how many of these movies he's made in this Madea series. This has to be at least 5, 6, 7 of them. I mean, no, it's a hugely successful franchise. Number one over the box office weekend with $41.1 million. That's a guy who's not going to win an Oscar, but people sure love him, don't they?
Yep.
Have you seen his movie studio that he built in Atlanta?
I heard about it.
It's as big as anything here.
Unbelievable.
And that's where he makes his own movies, his own TV shows. He produces a bunch of stuff. I mean, the guy is worth like $1 billion already. He's a real young dude, too. I mean, it's unbelievable. Anyway, that was number one at the box office over the weekend. Taken was number two with Liam Neeson. Coraline, number three. He's Just Not That Into You, number four. Slumdog Millionaire was number five, rounding out your box office. Although I suspect that's going to have a super big week now for the
probably
whoever was out there who still hasn't seen it now is going to want to go after the Oscars last night. And one more movie note, this is not for me, but I know a lot of people are crazy about this Twilight. You saw one of the stars of the film, Robert Pattinson, inexplicably at the Oscars last night as a presenter.
Yes.
Which I guess something else they were trying last night is people you'd never expect to see on the Oscars were there. People like Jessica Biel and Seth Rogen and people like that. I mean, I guess that was kind of their nod to, hey, let's put popular people on that people like whether or not they're, you know, quote unquote, Oscar worthy.
There was one point where they showed someone in the audience and he was sitting behind them and he could not have been more bored.
Yeah.
I mean, he really looked miserable.
Like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Well, the sequel to Twilight, which is a huge, huge hit, as you know, from last winter, New Moon, is not even finished yet, but they've already scheduled the third movie in the series. Apparently, the movie company has officially given the go-ahead to Eclipse. It's going to be out on June 30th, 2010, in case you're wondering.
Yes!
Which is only next summer. Not this summer, but next summer. Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart are going to be back in movie number 2. They have not yet been signed on movie number 3, but I can't imagine there's anything that would keep them from that. And, of course, there's probably going to be a fourth movie for the franchise since there are 4 books, too. The books, by the way, have sold over 17 million copies so far. So you get a percentage of those people to show up. You got yourself a pretty big box office.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, how about Emily Blunt, beautiful actress, 26 years old today. Patricia Richardson from Home Improvement is 58. Kristen Davis from Sex and the City, and before that, Melrose Place, turns 44 today. Mark Price played Skippy on Family Ties, ladies and gentlemen, 41. What was the deal with Skippy, Mike?
Let me tell you something. He sure did love Mallory, but Mallory didn't like him. She would not give him a chance. Not at all.
Oscar winner Peter Fonda is 69 today. Howard Jones, 54. The last time he appeared on this show was at the Richard Blade Farewell Breakfast Show all those years ago. We had Howard Jones on, remember? And young Dakota Fanning turns 15 today, and that is the K-Rock Showbiz.
We're going to do the grand prize drawing for K-Rock's World Tour Destination number 4, which is Coldplay in Norway.
That's
yes! Norway!
Norway's nice, man. I've been there.
Hey, Spencer, hold on just one second. And then we're going to announce destination number 5.
Oh,
okay.
Cool.
So we're going to give away one grand prize and announce the next.
Destination number 5 is T.I. in Malibu.
And I doubt that, Spencer. And Adam Carolla joins us later in the hour as well because, you know, he's unemployed in some junk. Spencer, you're a man pussy.
What?
You're a man pussy.
Hey, look.
And we're not the ones saying it.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
I mean, we're saying it too, but this comes from a list from manofest.com.
Yeah.
Don't ask me. Ralph found it. The 10 biggest celebrity man pussies.
I love what they say, by the way. There's a disease running rampant through Hollywood right now, and it's not herpes, Paris. It's a male disease widely known as man pussy syndrome. Hollywood is flooded with man pussies right now, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. It's a town of pussy pretty boys, and it's precisely the reason why Bruce Willis and Sylvester Stallone are still doing action movies at the age of 60. Someone needs to put a stop to this before it's too late, and unfortunately, Chuck Norris is too busy selling home exercise equipment to do anything about it. And you know what? A lot of times these lists come along, and we really find fault with it. This is a pretty good list. I mean, some of the, of course, you know, I gotta say Zac Efron doesn't deserve to be on this list.
Oh, please. Who deserves it more than him?
I mean, let me get your impression, Spencer, on some of the people who are also on this list. For instance, number 10, Ryan Seacrest. What do you think about him?
Good friend of mine. Great guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They say, hey, Seacrest, it's okay to wear t-shirts that don't have embroidered dragons or studs on them.
It's okay not to, but you probably should. I'd prefer if you did. Maybe like with like rhinestones of a dragon or a cross, and then underneath it'll say something real tough like, only the strong shall survive when toughness of love will twist fate.
Yeah.
Spencer, you understand that A, that didn't make any sense, and B, it's not a compliment to be on this list. You know that being called a man pussy is not good, right?
Chief, listen here, Captain. All right, I got to tell you something, Turbo. When it comes to being in Hollywood, all that matters is that you're on the tip of people's lips. You know what I'm saying? You're on the tip of their tongue. You're on people's lips, and that you are popular and out there in the publications. If they want to hate, let them hate, because look, hater comes from the French word ménage. Which means Christmas.
I don't think any of that
doesn't
true.
Sound. That right, doesn't sound right.
So number 10 is Ryan Seacrest. Number 9, Pete Wentz.
Oh, good friend of mine.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
We had dinner the other night at Dantana's. He's a good guy.
Okay. Number 8 is Zac Efron.
Good friend of mine. Went to Mr. Chow's with him, I think, Wednesday night.
He's well on his way to being our generation's male version of Liza Minnelli, they say.
Which I believe is quite true.
Number 7 is Chris Brown.
Good friend of mine.
How are you a good friend with all of these people?
Because I'm such a heavy hitter in Hollywood, Captain.
They say, word of advice, Chris, when you hit Rihanna, you hit every man on this planet.
Yeah.
So I think he's misunderstood.
Well, what counsel did you give Chris Brown? I mean, clearly he's got problems if he would hit a woman. What did you recommend that he do to reinvent himself and clean up his image?
Well, here's what I did. I called Mr. Brown after this tragedy, and I said, listen, on this, the eve of the Pearl Harbor attacks,
what?
Let's all look at what we can do for our country, and let's go buy a Gucci man purse.
And did he say, I don't know what the F you're talking about?
No. Oh. He said, I'll meet you at Rodeo Drive, Chief.
Number six is Bob Costas. I like what they say. I've been sick of Bob Costas' pompous man-pussy arrogance for years. My favorite Bob Costas moment of all time was a few years ago when he tried to, quote, get real with Vince McMahon on his show HBO On the Record. Vince McMahon got in his face and Costas assumed the fetal position in his chair.
Now, Vince McMahon's lucky. I personally know that Bob Costas is a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
I don't think that's true.
He's me over in Go-Kart Beverly Hills. True. Yep.
Oh. He's a pretty good sports announcer, but he's not a doer. He's not a guy who can do any of the stuff that he talks about other people doing. I think that's the point here.
You should hear my new surround sound system.
What are you talking? We're talking
sick.
About the
it's sick,
10
man.
Biggest celebrity man pussies.
Speaks right there. Speaks right in the wall, mounted in the wall. Watching okay. a movie or something.
Top five, Dominic Monaghan.
Good friend of mine.
He's the dude from Lost, of course.
Right.
He's not. He was Charlie on Lost. He's dead now. He can't really be a good friend of yours. You can't know all these people.
Yeah, I had lunch with him at Ketchup last week. I think he had the sea urchin ceviche.
Number four is Clay Aiken.
Good friend of mine.
Enough said.
He's not a good friend. You've never met Clay Aiken,
no,
Spencer.
No, Heidi and I took the private jet out to Vegas, hang with Clay, doing this tour. It was pretty sick.
He's such a phenomenal man pussy that you almost feel sorry for him. Then you hear him sing and talk. Is what they say about Clay Aiken. Then you no longer feel sorry for him.
He's got a beautiful voice.
Number three is Andy Dick.
Good friend of mine.
Come on.
It's true.
You don't know Andy Dick.
I do. Took him to an AA meeting the other day. He's doing real well. You should give your heart out to him like this.
I'm not going to kiss my fingers and put them up at a peace sign. I can't pull it.
Do it.
Number two, Richard Simmons.
Good friend of mine.
He's not a good friend of yours.
He used to train him.
There are three things no man should ever have: a man perm, really short shorts, and a flamboyant attitude.
Look, here's the deal with Richard Simmons. Good buddy of mine, and I trained with him a couple times. And, you know, it's hard to stay in shape at that extended age. You got to give him props for his six-pack.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, he doesn't have a six pack, but I'm trying to figure out why you would hang out with a guy who's 60. That seems like, don't you wish all people death at age 30 or something, Spencer?
He's a celebrity, right?
Oh, well, that is true. He is a celebrity.
That's right.
All right, the number one man pussy, a bigger pussy than all of these guys.
Yes.
Spencer Pratt. Not only is this man pussy wasting air we could all be breathing, but he's a disgrace to all mankind. If he were any more of a pussy, he'd have whiskers.
Spence?
Listen.
Biggest man pussy in the world.
Kendall.
Kevin.
Kendall.
Yeah, Kevin.
Listen to me, Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Look at my lips when I'm talking.
Okay.
It's like Jesse Jackson said, to be or not to be.
That's not Jesse Jackson. That's Shakespeare.
Politics.
What?
I don't know what
say it again? Spencer, I'm sorry. I lost you.
E equals.
MC squared?
Socialism.
Okay. Maybe you're shorting out a little bit here.
Dude, how many push-ups can you do, brah?
Probably 1,000.
Yeah.
Lots of highlights from last night's Academy Awards coming up after 8 o'clock. Adam Carolla joins us in about 10 minutes. First, though, we got a little business to take care of all week long. You know, we've been giving away tickets to see Coldplay at the Home Depot Center July 18th. Tickets went on sale over the weekend. We promised you a grand prize drawing to send your way for destination number 4, I think this is, of K-Rock's World Tour 2009. That's the call we're making now.
Pretty cool.
Hello?
Is this Lauren Lookassy?
Lukowski.
What is it? Lookass? Look, Lookassy.
No, it's Lofsky.
Lukowski. Okay. Hey, this actually isn't one of those annoying pervert sex calls. It's actually Kevin and Bean calling from the world-famous K-Rock. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Couldn't it be both, though?
Hey, yeah, could be both. Really. That's true.
If you guys
Lauren does sound kind of hot. Hey, Lauren, you won tickets to go see Coldplay at the Home Depot Center this summer, right?
Yes, I did.
And do you remember what we told you you were also qualified for at that time?
Who's yelling, no way? Hey, Miss Lookassy, who's yelling no way?
My stepdad.
Your stepdad.
He's very excited.
He doesn't get to go then.
You are going to Norway to see Coldplay.
Oh my God.
You get round trip airfare for two, you get hotel for two, you get tickets to see Coldplay, and you get $500 spending cash.
Listen to him yelling in the background. I know.
Awesome.
This sounds like that 911 call with the chimp ripping the lady's face off. This guy in the background.
Come on.
Hey, Okay. Well, let me tell you something, Lauren. I've been to this Berg in Norway. It's the most beautiful town in the whole country. It's right there on the water. You're going to have a fantastic time, and we couldn't be happier for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Is your stepdad the one that saddled you with Lookassie?
No, he's not. That's my real dad.
That's your real dad. Okay, just check. Never know. All right, well, congratulations. You are going to go to Norway to see Coldplay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And then we would like to hear from you afterwards, if you're still alive, about how it went.
All right, I will do.
All right, congratulations, Lauren. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Okay, bye now.
How about that? I was a little nervous because most people are not automatically excited about Norway.
I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, there's countries you want to go to, and that's not really high on the list of most people. But it sounded like she was genuinely excited about the opportunity to go over there. I think she'll have a great time when she gets there.
I'll tell you where I'm dying to go is Tokyo.
Hey!
That's where I would love to go. That seems like it'd be right up my alley. And that is K-Rock's World Tour destination number 5.
Really?
Rise Against in Tokyo.
Hey!
You always have
a long week.
Yes,
it's going to be a long week.
We always have a standby boarding list. You get tickets to see Rise Against with Rancid at the Forum.
Wow.
July 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets for that show go on sale at Saturday at 10. And then we are going to do the grand prize drawing to send you and a friend to Tokyo to see Rise Against. Stop it. So good luck. That's coming up right starting right now.
K-Rock World Tour 2009. Your favorite K-Rock band in places all over the planet.
Runway 4 left, clear for takeoff.
Roger that.
Destination 5.
This is Tim from Rise Against.
Assistant no Shiroma Keiko desu.
Rise Against in Tokyo.
Get on the standby boarding list
and win tickets
to Rise Against
and Rancid. July 15th at the Forum. Tickets on sale Saturday at 10. Kevin and Beans are the grand prize winner Friday morning.
One ticket to Tokyo, please.
Rise Against.
Can you speak with Japan?
In Tokyo.
The world famous K-Rock.
From Warner Brothers Pictures, Watchmen. From the visionary director of 300. Watchmen in theaters everywhere.
I guess what I'm saying is there any justice in the world when Ryan Seacrest has a morning radio show and Adam Carolla doesn't? Does that make any sense to you guys at all? Do you understand the world, or is it just turned upside down now?
I don't know. Ryan seems very good.
Adam Carolla is on the phone on the Kevin and Bean show. We haven't been able to get you for like the last 3 years. Ace, where you been, dude?
Evidently nowhere in the hearts and minds of most Los Angelinos.
Adam Carolla, for those of you who don't know, was working at 97.1, and they changed the format.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's not quite so much.
Yeah, I feel like I could have fit in over there.
Nope.
I love me some Justin Timberland and Riona and all the other hot young acts that are, you know, I could have got some Grecian formula and fit right in.
Adam, here's the thing, and one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, besides the fact that we have just missed the F out of you for the last 3 years, because, you know, I mean, you've been on our show hundreds of times over the years, and Kevin and I both have said to you and about you that you're one of the funniest people we've ever met in our lives. So we've really missed having you on the program. Let me say that first and foremost.
Well, thanks.
But secondly, you're so a victim of circumstance with the economy and everything else that's going on. I mean, you've been doing the show for 3 years over there, and we're really just starting to make some real inroads with the ratings. What, in the last 3 or 4 months is when things started really turning around for you, right?
Yeah, actually, the whole station, I mean, all kidding aside, I got a bunch of bonuses last year for having good ratings, and actually everyone else on the station was doing pretty well, too. So the whole station was actually doing pretty well from a rating standpoint. But mm-hmm. It's too expensive. It's cheaper to play music.
Because of your stupid bonuses.
Right.
I got to tell you, though, it took Bean and I literally 7 years to make any progress at
it
the
does.
Beginning.
That was my point. It is so hard to launch a new radio show. Unless you're a guy like a Howard Stern, when he came into the market, he was a known entity. He had fans all over the world before they'd ever even heard him on in Los Angeles because he was bringing his act that was so famous and movies and books and everything else. But it takes a really, really long time, and it's so unfair that just as you're starting to get started, if they could have hung with you for a few more months, you probably would have been there for 20 years, Adam. I guess that's my point.
Well, let me say a couple things.
You're trying to rub it in?
That's nice. If I just leaned a little more, I could have got the gold at the tape.
That's
is that
right.
What you're saying?
You were that close.
Thank you. It makes me feel great as I
look. I'm saying it's not your fault, and I'm sure you know that. But it's really just a shame.
Yes, of course, it's my parents' fault. I mean, ultimately, if you think about it, everything is my parents' fault. I want to say a couple things that's sort of ironic, because I remember the whole time when I was with you guys on your show, and you know, you were taking aim at the, you know, Howard Sterns or the Rick Deezes, or the Mark and Bryans or whoever it was. You guys are now that. You're the man.
What?
No, you're, you know, when you sit around, now you guys are on top and enjoy it. But what I'm saying is it's strange because we used to sit around and say, how are we going to beat this guy? You guys have now become that guy.
So everyone hates us?
No. Actually, that's the thing that sucks because, you know, like Deez was so easy to hate.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm having a much, you know, I had a much more difficult time hating you guys.
Mm.
You know, I did, but I had a much more difficult time summoning it.
Now, Adam, you didn't enjoy it.
I recorded some of your last show on Friday, and there was a lot of, boy, there sure isn't anything else to listen to in this market talk. Man, I'll tell you what's going on now. Just nothing. You got top 40 music and Ranchero, and that's it. Morning shows below.
Well, you know what? I got to apologize because I wasn't thinking about the AM side of the dial. There is a lot of good talk, mostly political, but a lot of good talk coming from the AM side of the dial. So I guess I owe you guys an apology.
I guess my point is that you worked with us on the show. So it's
maybe
not,
throw us a bone. Maybe some, you know, like when John McCain gave his concession speech in the desert the election night, he said, now we're all Americans. Let's support our new president. Maybe it'd be a good time for you to throw some of that ACE support behind the Kevin and Bean program.
Well, I don't have listeners in Los Angeles, so that's number one. Mine would all be in like Seattle and Vegas and Portland. So I don't have a constituency out here.
All right, you had a lot of markets. We didn't.
We got it. Rub
that's
it
fine.
In.
Fairly redundant. But also, like I said, you guys are number one with a bullet. You don't need more. And as a matter of fact, if you got more, you'd probably just get cocky and strung out on something.
That's us. We are cocky and strung out on something right now.
Ace, what did you, it sounds to me like from what I heard on your last show, and I podcasted it too, and it was very, very entertaining and so, and sad too, but I got the impression that you learned to fall in love with doing morning radio. I didn't think you would like it as much as you did, but it sounded like it's really kind of in your blood now.
Well, I did like it. I did enjoy it. I mean, obviously, you know, the schedule is tough on anybody, but for me, coming from Loveline, it was a real whiplash situation because I had 10 years plus of going to bed at 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
But I started to get used to it, and I started to find a rhythm. And, yeah, as you guys know, it is one of these things where it's a 5-year program, if that. It's not a 2-year plan.
Yeah.
Right.
And we don't have that time, by the way, not only in radio. We don't have it in TV anymore. It used to be they'd give you a season or two to find your footing, and now they just pull the plug before they get started. And it's weird how media is turning into some kind of job where it's like you spend all this time training your personnel and then you S-can them and then you start training a new guy. And eventually someone's going to figure out it's not a great way to make money. But I want to say this. I have a sitcom pilot deal with CBS, which I'm going to go to work on immediately, so F morning radio.
Well, I was going to say, you've been in the habit, and we were expecting you to get up and come in this morning, and I see that that didn't happen.
Well, that just was a change of plans, basically.
I see.
I like being in studios, you guys know, and I'll come in. And will come in as much as you'll have me.
We don't really want you now, but I mean, after today, I'm saying.
Yeah, you're kind of old news now, Ace, after this interview. This is the end.
What's your TV show?
It's just a basic sitcom. It's just a CBS sitcom, half hour, you know, prime time sitcom.
Is it called Complaining?
It's not technically called Complaining, but it will evolve into that as everything does. Marriage originally wasn't called Complaining.
That's true.
It was called Marriage, but now it does turn into that. Complaining.
since the last time we had you on, didn't you have octuplets or something too, Adam? What did I hear about that?
I got the twins. They're in the next room. I think they're sleeping or drinking their babas or something. And
Do you still have the wife that's way too hot for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way I like it.
That's not right.
They're lying in their crib. Somebody made a poopy.
Life is good. I think twins would be enough to want me to get out of the house. I'll tell you, that would just force me up to find as many jobs as I could rather than hang around, I think.
It did. It was nice getting up and getting out before they got up and got loud. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, the climate in radio today is horrible.
It is.
Yeah.
Everyone is who's working should feel lucky to have a gig. And I don't know that there are any new gigs anywhere. So
yeah.
I'm basically setting my sights on television for a while.
I'll tell you, with the state of the economy, a lot of companies are thinking, hey, let's just fire everyone. And
right.
then we can just save money.
Right.
It's not a good time to be in radio for anyone. And
no.
any day this is going to happen. I was surprised they let you say goodbye, Adam, because...
That never happens.
That never happens. Usually in radio, they're afraid you're going to say bad stuff. So they tell you that you're gone and they make you get your stuff and they escort you out of the building right then.
And then they wipe clean all the websites.
Yep.
It's like you never were.
Yes, you get Purell'd.
Yeah,
that was surprising. I was surprised that they allowed you to say goodbye. I was very pleasantly
cool.
surprised by that.
Well, you know, I think our case was unique, or maybe not unique, but the format flip after 12 years, I guess, necessitated it in some way, shape, or form. I mean, yeah, most times you don't get to do that. And we discussed it. I mean, I discussed it with New York, and I discussed it with the program director in L.A., and they said probably, I mean, it was my idea. Not that they argued with me, but I said, shouldn't you say bye? Isn't it going to be weird after 12 years just splitting? And plus, everyone had a contract, so if you said anything too horrible, you
right.
would get paid for the rest of your contract.
So how long?
There you go.
How long are you getting paid to sit there and watch your kids make poopy?
I get paid through March 2018. So I have a scant
it seems
11
like
years.
It seems like a long contract. I do remember when you were here that was your goal, was to get paid while not working.
If I got to be honest, if I wasn't, I mean, if the station didn't flip and I wasn't as canned with everyone else over there, I was going to throw myself down some stairs.
Oh, good.
That was always been my plan.
Workman's comp?
Yeah, to stay home. And now I'm realizing that dream, but somehow it doesn't feel as good as I thought it would back when I was swinging a hammer or eating at IHOP with you guys.
Well, let me tell you how lucky you are, Adam, and I've given this a lot of thought with, as we've discussed in this conversation, any of us could be next. I mean, there's no job security in radio anymore, that's for sure. But at least you're a guy who has other skills. I mean, at least you have the option to go do a sitcom for CBS. Guys like Kevin and I, man, I mean, you might as well just put us in the ground the day we lose this job, because we got nothing else that we can do. We're not good at anything.
Well, Bean, you've probably socked enough FU money over the last 14 years to last you until you head into the ground.
Hey, how come both of us haven't done that?
Well, I don't know, Kevin. How was Vegas this weekend?
How was Vegas? And plus, you have things called children.
Yeah,
Bean just
right.
has to slop goats or
that's
do whatever
true.
You do.
That's
I mean,
right. That's right.
He keeps a low overhead. It is nice. You know, what was really nice for me is I had this sitcom thing working and literally found out on Friday, the day I packed up my stuff and left work. I found out on Friday right after work that CBS had green lit
wow.
the pilot. So I wasn't really emotionally out of work for more than like 20 minutes.
Did you walk around to everybody else there, you know, like us, and go, in your face, like us?
He has more than one face.
Your food bill is what took us down, fatty.
He's got more than one chin, that's for sure.
No, I had thankfully left the building and found out about it on my ride home. So, yeah, it is nice. I got a couple of movie things working. And let me just say this as a cautionary tale to not just people in radio, but anyone doing anything, and especially in today's economic climate, you got to throw some train tracks out in front of your train, and it's good to get a little head, you know, get out in front of yourself a little bit.
I've always said that. It's good to get a little head, right.
And I don't know if it's working on whatever another degree. I don't know if it's learning welding. I don't know what it is, but it's good to have a little something else in your back pocket in case that pink slip comes down the hall.
Yeah, you're right. Little plan B. Wouldn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, I had the plan B working. Well, you know, I always have done both and have sort of dabbled in a bunch of stuff. So
right.
It just happened to be a happy coincidence. But well, I couldn't be happier for you guys. I really mean
it. Yeah, sounded like that on Friday when you were recommending nobody.
When you're recommending an iPod. Thank you.
No, but Adam, I do have to tell you this because this happens from time to time where people will listen to you or another morning show and they'll report back to us what's being said and it's almost never accurate.
Yeah.
Yes.
So every once in a while we would hear that, oh, Adam was slamming you guys. Oh, Adam was saying this about you guys. And I always say the same thing, which is Adam's one of the funniest guys I know. If he says it, it's probably true. I was always fine with it. Didn't care.
Well, listen. Let me say this in the throes of passion. Sometimes words pass one's lips. That one, you know, just like any good relationship. But I tried to stay away from the bagging on other people. Although I got to say, whenever you do, and it gets reported back to you, it always gets a couple zeros put behind it.
Oh, no question.
And obviously people are fire starters. I consider you guys friends, always have, and I've always been thankful that you got me into this business. And I hope we can maintain that relationship, or maybe I can just get you coffee.
Yeah.
If the sitcom thing doesn't work.
I don't see the relationship thing, but we can use coffee.
Sure. All right, listen, we're out of time, Adam. We couldn't be happier for you and the success that you had. I'm sorry it didn't last longer, because you definitely didn't deserve what happened to you. And it's a loss for the radio market to have 97.1 gone, just like it was a loss a few weeks ago to lose Indy 103.1. I mean, anytime you have fewer good choices for the consumer, I'm all against that. But I'm glad you came on. We will take you up on that offer to have you maybe stop by sometime if you have the opportunity. And, you know, keep us posted on the sitcom and all that good stuff. And thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We enjoyed it.
Let me say this. If you want to hear me podcast, you can go to adamcarolla.com.
Are you doing that? Are you doing new podcasts?
Yeah, I'm going to podcast. Why not?
Well...
But then why is the other question.
You know, why? Because as you guys know, Kevin,
yes.
Think about all the times we've been off the air.
Yeah.
Think about all the times we're just eating at a cheap diner or driving to go see a basketball game, and you turned to me and you said, who cares? Stop talking already.
Right. That happens a lot.
Do you think I was getting paid at the time to talk?
That's a good point.
I got
gotcha.
You.
Anyone was listening, including you?
I got gotcha. You. All right.
No, I spoke because I had to.
You don't have a choice.
You can check it out at adamcarolla.com. Adam, thanks for coming on, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Time for the Showbiz Beat.
The Oscar goes to... Slumdog Billionaire.
I don't know if you noticed when Steven Spielberg came out to announce the Best Picture winner at the Oscar last night. Is that he looks like an owl now? Have you seen how goofy Steven Spielberg is starting to look at his old age?
Yeah.
It was not a surprise. Everyone had expected, even before the ceremony last night, that Slumdog Millionaire was going to win. It just had all the momentum at all the right time and ended up winning 8 of the 10 nominations that it was up for at the Oscars last night. It's weird about this movie, though, because it won 8. It wasn't even nominated for any of the acting categories, which is very unusual to win a Best Picture, Best Director, and all so many of the other awards with no acting nominations.
Yeah, that is
weird.
Strange.
But I was very happy to see Frida Pinto get up on the stage there.
I'll tell you that.
We got a complete recap of the Oscars, including a bunch of very funny highlights from Hugh Jackman and from the show last night. Coming up after news at 8, Ralph is on vacation. What else is going on in the showbiz world, Kevin?
Well, there are a few behind-the-scenes stories that are coming out now about Kodak Theater for the Academy Awards.
Okay.
Apparently, they kind of changed the setup a little bit along with the format of the show. And Mickey Rourke, during commercials, would walk up and sit on the edge of the stage.
Talk to people.
I guess he was in the front row, I guess, so it's pretty easy for him to do that.
Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm sitting on the stage. And then every time they were about to come back from commercial, somebody would go, Mickey, would you mind moving back to your seat?
I thought that was a good move, by the way, moving the orchestra onto the stage last night instead of having that pit in between the audience and the stage. I mean, last night in some of those shots, it looked like the person on stage presenting the award could just reach out and touch the front row if they wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, last night, the host, Hugh Jackman, did his best to keep the... people entertained during the commercials. Apparently, he was singing to his dad in the audience. was reading a note from his wife. Andy was even going up and down the aisles handing out cookies.
That's cool.
So I guess,
'cause I wondered what, there's so many commercials, yeah, and I thought that must be the most boring thing for them.
Most of the time, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
It's just people standing around talking and whatever. So.
There were times where I feared that Hugh Jackman had been pulled, like they brought the hook out and took him away because you didn't see him for 45 minutes at a time.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
Like, where was he? If it wasn't at the Oscars, then it was at the box office this weekend. Big for movies, $41.1 million for Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail over the weekend. This guy is a monster. I think there's been 7 or 8 of these Madea movies, and I don't know a single person except our friend Anel, Token Blacklister Anel, who's ever been to one of them. But by all accounts, they're funny, I guess.
Right? I'll tell you, I saw him on Larry King, and he is really, really a likable, good-sounding guy. I was impressed by him.
Very smart.
Yeah, very.
But I think Ralph nailed it last week when he said that he's just turned into the new Ernest. I mean, what's Madea Goes to Camp has got to be next, right?
Sure.
$41.1 million. I mean, there are a lot of movie stars who've never had that kind of box office in an opening weekend. Number two was Taken with Liam Neeson at number two. Coraline was number three. He's Just Not That Into You came in at number four. Slumdog Millionaire at number five. Now over $100 million at the box office domestic. By the way, Friday the 13th was number six. Confessions of a Shopaholic at seven. Paul Blart Mall Cop, which for my money, by the way, was the biggest omission, the biggest sin of omission from last night's Oscars. Not a single thing for Paul Blart. Fired Up was number nine, and The International rounded out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of box office, by the way, Warner Brothers announced on Friday that Batman, the Dark Knight movie, has now surpassed over $1 billion worldwide. It is now number four on the all-time box office list around the world.
My
wow.
God.
Considering it number stars four. Somebody that no one can understand.
If we knew what Batman was saying, imagine how much more we would have enjoyed that movie. Titanic is still number one, by the way. $1.84 billion. Think about that number for a minute,
wow,
by the way. Lord of the Rings is number two, and then Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, number three, and then The Dark Knight comes in at number four. And I said earlier, that's who I was waiting for. They made so much effort to keep secret who some of the presenters were going to be on the Academy Awards last night. I thought we were going to have some surprises, like Christian Bale. I thought that would have been so cool to have him come out.
Sure.
And no yell. One would know he was there, and he would come out and just start screaming at people.
Start yelling at everybody. That would have been the best.
It didn't happen.
Jessica Simpson, according to Star Magazine, has hired a dude named Mike Alexander to watch what she eats.
She just has, watch it? Or
she has a food cop.
Or help her.
Now, supposedly he's supposed to help her, but they're saying that when she's stressed, that's what she does, and
sure,
he can't really do much about that. So apparently she's just running around the house, jamming food down her gullet.
And he's chasing,
and he's chasing
her,
going, no, 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 fatty, fatty, don't fatty, do
fatty,
it.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
I don't work out. I have a high metabolism. It's really hard for me to gain weight.
Not anymore, it's not. And finally for this hour, Donald Trump. I don't know if you heard this or not. Of course, we've been seeing the commercials all over TV about his Celebrity Apprentice, which comes back March 1st, which looks awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
It's quite
because
true.
Of how lame the celebrities are.
Yeah.
His, you know, he's declaring bankruptcy on his casinos, essentially, in New Jersey.
I did Trump not know that.
Trump I Entertainment heard. Resorts had to have its stock removed from NASDAQ on Friday because it got too low. He resigned as chairman earlier this month when it was made public that the company was in bankruptcy court for the third time. He's got three casinos there. And you'd think, by the way, and we've said this on the air before, how tough can it be to make money with a casino? I mean, you're Dude. Running these – people just show up and
but
give
the
you
overhead.
Cash.
Have you
999
there?
People out of 1,000 who walk through the doors lose money. How do you not make money with that arrangement?
Have you been there?
Mm-mm.
It
to Atlantic
is,
City? No.
Yeah, to Atlantic City. I understand that people can't come all the way out to Vegas. You know, it's not as easy. And so people on the East Coast go there. It is a sad little city. I mean, it is really, there's no one there. And
but Indian casinos aren't much to look at. People go to them because they yeah. love to gamble and they lose money.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
it's
know.
Not just Atlantic City, though. Listen to this. Nevada saw its worst ever decline in gambling revenues last year. It's no longer recession proof. They lost 10.6% lower gambling revenue last year than they did in 2007.
Well, so I did my part this weekend.
I was wondering if you did.
Hold it up.
Even in Las Vegas, they're not making the money. And I guess part of it is not just what people do when they walk through the doors in the casino. It's that they can't, they can't afford to go anymore. Maybe
yeah.
that's what it is.
Yeah.
People don't have the discretionary income and the weekends free to run to Las Vegas like they used to. But anyway, I'm always happy when bad things happen to Donald Trump. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about Kristen Davis from Sex and the City? She is 44 years old today. Oscar-winning actor Peter Fonda turns 69. Johnny Winter, rock and roll blues guitar legend Johnny Winter. Is he the freakish albino, right, Mike? Isn't
yeah.
he? Yeah. Or is that Edgar Winner? Which one is the albino?
Wait.
Or are they both? I don't even know.
I think he's the bunny eyes. Yeah,
he's 65 years old today. Longtime K-Rock artist Howard Jones turns 54. Actress Dakota Fanning is 15. And Emily Blunt turns 26 today. And that is the K-Rock Show.
I'm saying I need to see that guy's teeth again. That dude.
That's all you care about from the Oscars last night.
He was nominated for an Academy Award for one of the documentaries or something like that. And they went to him in the audience, and his teeth. He could eat corn on the cob through a chain link fence. He had the best teeth I've ever seen, and I need to know who it is and where we can find a picture of it. Please.
Yeah, there have to be some pictures online. This guy had, I mean, they look like novelty teeth, like you'd buy for a Halloween costume, right?
You couldn't look at him. It was really horrible.
What do you mean? They were huge. They were huge, these teeth.
I started yelling, oh my God, look at that. That's awesome. And then he cut away.
The Academy Awards, the 81st Annual Academy Awards were last night. By the way, we've got a bunch of highlights here. We'll try to include your phone calls, too, if you've got something you want to bring up that maybe we missed or something you want to get on the air. 1-800-520-1067. By now, you know Slumdog Millionaire was the big winner. The big surprise, well, there were a lot of things that were different about this year. The ratings they've dropped 40% in the last 10 years on the Oscars.
Wow.
And they're desperate at this point, and that's good because that leads to trying something new. So they really mixed it up last night. They had a lot of different things going on last night, including, for the first time ever, not hiring – first time in many, many years – not hiring a comedian to host the show. They had Hugh Jackman on. I thought he did a terrific job. I don't know what you guys thought, but I mean
– He seemed fine.
I thought he was a great host.
He did a great job too. Yeah. A
lot of singing because, you know, he's got that, that Tony award-winning background. Kind of a throwback to the big production numbers that Billy Crystal used to do when he hosted the Oscars a few years ago. I thought it was not all the musical stuff on the show worked last night, but I thought the Hugh Jackman stuff in general was pretty good.
He should have sung a song like that about that dude's teeth. Look at his teeth. Would have been awesome.
The other highlight for you, Kevin, I know, besides the dude with the teeth, was David Bowie's appearance on the Oscars last night. Now, you wondered, why was he there giving out the Best Supporting Actress Award? Why is David Bowie there?
And then that must have been early. I missed it.
It was Tilda Swinton, actually, is who it was.
Oh, the chick that looks like David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Oscar goes to Penelope Cruz.
What is going on with Tilda Swinton, by the way, who's a phenomenal
actress? She's a great actress.
Great actress. What's going on with her?
I think she doesn't want to care. She doesn't want to take
the time. It's worse than that. If you don't care, you look a certain way. She has to actively try to be ugly.
Well, all you have to do is not put on makeup and wear a crappy dress. And in the lighting that they have there and on TV, you would look awful. And she looks awful.
She does.
You get the feeling that she's a serious actress and this is BS. And she'll do it because she has to, but that's it.
She is not attractive.
Got a Tilda Swinton fan on the phone we want to go to real quick. Ralph in the Valley joins us. Ralph, hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Chunk Hero. Good morning.
I'm not in the Valley. I'm in Hollywood adjacent.
I'm sorry. Hollywood adjacent, not Studio City. I'm sorry. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you, man?
Stop coming down on Tilda, will you?
She is one terrible, ugly Ralph. Woman.
She is a handsome man.
Not even. She's an ugly man as well.
Hold on a second. My dog's freaking out.
All right.
What's going on with Reggie?
What's up, guys? Last night, greatest Oscars ever.
I thought it was pretty good.
Greatest Oscars ever.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't really have that category, but I certainly haven't liked it in the past, so maybe so.
I want to make love with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He is
He's a handsome man.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
Very energetic and gutsy. But the thing is, and we talked about this a little bit, Ralph, back when you still worked on the show.
Yeah.
And by the way, what's going on with today? Is it all ex-Kevin and Bean employees calling in? Yes. We just had Carolla on. Now here's Garmin.
Yeah, I just got a new sitcom called Ralph in the Hole.
Is that porn?
Yeah.
We were talking on the air on Friday, Ralph, when you were still working for us, that the number one thing the Oscars could do to make it a great television show is eliminate the BS awards that seem to go on for hours. The sound editing, the cinematography. The costuming, all that kind of stuff. Even you have to admit there were half hours that just dragged like nobody's business last night during that show because of that.
See, I don't feel that way. I don't mind those awards because they interest me too.
Nope.
And I think I got to give it to the Oscars for holding on to what they are, which is achievements in motion pictures across the board, and they stick with that, and they're going to give out the awards to the people who deserve them, and the people who are watching just have to suck it up.
Nope.
But you can't complain that the ratings are bad if you're going to spend a half hour on sound editing. You just can't.
But they've always done that. They've always given out
right.
the same awards.
I agree, and it's probably important, but I'm just saying it doesn't make for good TV. That's all.
I'm saying I think they treat the award ceremony as their ceremony first and the TV show second. And I think right. they do the best they can while still being true to what those awards are about, which are giving recognition to everybody in the motion picture business, not just the movie stars.
There was better last night. I mean, even when they had the former winners come out and talk about the current nominees, I mean, I thought that was pretty good changes.
Yeah, that star power they had when five people would come out to introduce a category, that was pretty cool.
That was
it
good.
Was,
yes.
yeah.
And I thought they even found an interesting way to give away the technical awards by showing you the process of movie making from screenwriting all the way through. It kind of gave it some sort of sense of theme that you could kind of get behind while you're watching.
And the president of the Academy didn't give a speech.
That's true.
Come on, that was the best.
Nice. But I thought the music and dancing numbers were good last night. And that never happens.
Yeah, well, they weren't as bad.
Oh, come on.
I'm saying they weren't as bad.
Kevin will never like them.
I did wonder, because they've had such a veil of secrecy over this year's Oscars, because they wanted people to tune in to find out what they meant. And they've been dropping hints to the fact that they were going to tell a story throughout the evening that was going to relate to the categories that were being presented. And now I understand, of course, what they meant. They were telling you how a movie was being made. And it was an interesting idea, I guess. The best presenters of the whole night, though, Ralph, and tell me if you agree with this, are the people they should consider to host in a future year, and that was Steve Martin and Tina Fey.
Hilarious. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I thought
Ben Stiller and Natalie Portman were pretty strong, too.
That was pretty good, too.
That was the kind of bit you don't ordinarily see on the Oscars, too, the bit that Ben Stiller did parodying Joaquin Phoenix on Letterman. Here's a little bit of Steve Martin and Tina Fey coming out, and they're presenting both awards for screenplay.
Good evening. I'm Steve Martin.
And I'm Tina Fey.
And I'm Steve Martin.
It has been said that to write is to live forever.
The man who wrote that is dead.
Yet we all know the importance of writing because every great movie begins with a great screenplay.
Or a very good idea for the poster.
You know, it wasn't that very many years ago that somebody like Tina Fey would have never even been considered to be on the Oscars because, I mean, although she's had a couple of big hit movies, I mean, she's basically a TV star.
Yeah.
But I think that the Oscars, in their attempt to reach out and try to get more people to tune in, is starting to realize, hey, we got to put people up on the screen that people actually watch and care about.
Yeah.
And she was a great choice, I thought.
Hey, K-Rox Ralph, who was the dude with the teeth?
The documentary?
Yes.
Yes.
He was doing a documentary on dental hygiene.
That was the best. You know what movie he was associated with or anything? We're trying to find a picture.
It was a documentary short, wasn't it?
I don't know. We're just trying to track him down because those teeth are spectacular. I was so fascinated with that.
You want to talk because of his teeth?
I do.
Yeah.
I'll do some research and find out which documentary it
oh,
was.
Oh, please do.
Yeah.
Right. Let's do one more clip for this break, and then we'll say goodbye to Ralph, and we'll let you call in if you've got comments about the Oscars last night. 1-800-520-1067. This was another one of the best speeches of the night last night from a guy you've never heard of, and maybe this works against my argument that they shouldn't present some of these awards on the TV, because this was a highlight, and it was the guy picking up the award for the best short animated film. Check him out.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Academy. Thank you, animation. Thank you. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Come on. How did that happen, Ralph? Do you think somebody said, hey, say it, it'll be funny?
I think that was as close as he could get to what he knew people knew in English of Japanese.
That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, and I thought, did I see that right?
Also talk about, minor awards, given some of the best speeches. How about the acrobat who balanced the Oscar on his chin?
Yeah, that was the man on wire guy?
Yeah, you don't see Sean Penn doing that, do you? Baby?
No, you don't. You also don't see him doing a magic trick with a coin.
That's right.
This dude came up on stage. He didn't win an Oscar, by the way. Maybe that's why his speech was so short, is because he came up there. He was the subject of the documentary that the two guys won the Oscar for. But he came up and gave what he advertised as the shortest speech ever.
The shortest speech in Oscar history. Yes.
I'd like to see a little bit more of that in future award shows, I'll tell you that. So I know you were more excited than any of us about the Oscars, Ralph. It paid off for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was my favorite Oscars ever. I thought Hugh Jackman did an amazing job as host.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, really.
first of all, the singing and dancing he did was hysterical in that opening bit. But as a host, you can't be funny all the time. You have to kind of just keep things moving along. And I think he just did a nice job of being the MC for the evening and just keeping the show moving.
But what about that guy's teeth?
He can't eat corn on the cob through a picket fence.
Oh, that was so sweet.
We're going to hear a little piece of Sean Penn's acceptance speech. Also, he was very funny, by the way. Kate Winslet, we've got some tape on, and also the Ben Stiller bit that you mentioned, a couple other things. Ralph, I know you're on vacation, man, but I appreciate you jumping on to talk about the Oscars last night. Thanks for calling, dude.
Enjoy work, guys.
Talk what went on with the celebrities last night at the Academy Awards. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin coming up next from TMZ.com.
Okay.
First, though, we made some progress, Kevin, on all you care about, which is finding the dude with the teeth.
Yes.
Apparently, he was there, nominated for a movie he made called The Betrayal in the Best Foreign Film category. And I'm going to let you pronounce his name for our listeners, because your Indian's a little better than mine.
His name is Thavasuk Frasaveth.
All right,
he's good.
Then.
And I want to hear Petros Papadakis say that.
I want to hear him say that. Wow, were his teeth bad.
Woo! We found some pictures online, but none from the Oscars, which is where they really shine. That's how you really got to appreciate the dude. All right, a couple more clips, and then we got to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up. I don't think we've had a chance to hear Jennifer Aniston out on stage with Jack Black last night at the Academy Awards. They were handed out the animated categories. A lot of people were interested in who followed the tabloids, because this is Jennifer Aniston being 10 feet away from Angelina Jolie and her ex-husband Brad Pitt. You know, they're sitting in the front row. There's Jennifer Aniston up on the stage, and they showed Angelina in the crowd a couple of times
sure.
when Aniston was on stage, and she was smiling and making sure she wasn't like making funny faces. So she covered herself. But here they are presenting an animated award.
Now we are going to present the award for Best Animated Short Film, which a lot of people mistakenly think is easier to win than the regular one.
But that is not true, because the shorter your movie, the less time your panda has to work its way into America's heart.
Did you watch anything this year that you were not in?
No. But in my defense, neither did a lot of people.
Jack Black always brings it. Very, very funny last night. The other comedy bit, besides Steve Martin and Tina Fey, was Natalie Portman, who came out with Ben Stiller. And,
that was awesome.
Ralph made mention of this a couple of minutes ago. Ben Stiller comes out as Joaquin Phoenix, which is with the giant, bushy, Hasidic beard, with the sunglasses, staring at the floor. It was actually a very funny bit.
Cinematographers are the unsung heroes of movies. They live and breathe shadow and light. Their work is the bedrock of every production. I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. You're chewing gum at the Oscars.
Okay, take it off. Go ahead, you're doing fine. Go ahead.
It had to be the first time in Oscar history that anyone ever took gum out of his mouth and stuck it to the podium on stage.
I'm sure that's true.
I was so happy to see him mocking him, though. Because really, he needs to either admit it's a gag or go away.
Yeah.
One of the two.
I agree.
And come back and be a good actor again.
Yeah.
Marion Cotillard, former Best Actress winner, was up there presenting for Kate Winslet last night. She finally won after 6 tries for her role in The Reader.
And the Oscar goes to Kate Winslet. Okay, that fainting thing, Penelope. Oh, I'd be lying if I haven't made a version of this speech before. I think I was probably 8 years old and staring into the bathroom mirror, and this would have been a shampoo bottle. Well, it's not a shampoo bottle now.
I thought it was a good speech. I thought
I
she
too.
Seemed very sincere.
Yeah, and it's also rare that people admit how much they won it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, she did.
And even though she's already won a ton of awards this season for The Reader, I mean, this is the Oscars. You know, this one counts.
Right.
And I think it's still a big deal when you win an Oscar. And she, you know, no one deserves it more than she does. I mean, this is her 6th nomination. I mean, she's such a phenomenal actress. Sean Penn won his 2nd last night. Here he is getting the award from former Best Actor winner Michael Douglas.
And the Oscar goes to Sean Penn.
You commie homo-loving sons of guns.
That was probably the best line of the whole night, yep. I think, by the way. Because people, you know, that there were people all over America that hate Sean Penn so
sure.
much and hate the fact that that gays exist and that they made a movie about him. And they're just cursing at the screen, and that's who he was addressing there.
I did not expect this, but I want it to be very clear that I do know how hard I make it to appreciate me often.
Even if you love his acting, sometimes it's tough to root for the dude, you know?
Yeah.
He made and reference, finally, too, to the people outside protesting, I guess.
Yes, he
which
did.
I had no idea was going on until he mentioned it. With signs
yeah, I was,
and stuff.
I was wondering about that. What was going on down there? Has anyone heard anything since about what they were protesting or why?
Anti-gay?
It must have been. I don't know.
Protests.
I didn't see that either, but yeah. It was really... Maybe I'm just naive, but I was raised to believe that was stupid. So, I mean, it is weird that in 2009 there are people that are still boycotting and
like what? There shouldn't have been a movie made about a guy because he's gay? What's
I
that
don't
about?
Know. I don't know. Wow. But let's get back to that dude's teeth. That was spectacular.
One more clip from last night, and this is something else that they tried that was new at the Oscars this year. They promised a lot of surprises. This was something else that at least I never heard about ahead of time that was going to be on the show, which is they had a short film that was made by Judd Apatow specifically for the Oscars. And it had Seth Rogen and James Franco, who starred in Pineapple Express this summer, and they were basically doing their same character sitting on the couch having this conversation.
Yo, just got back from Chinatown. I got all these DVDs for $4.
Awesome. What'd you get?
I got every movie that came out this year that didn't get nominated for an Oscar.
Man, I hate comments.
Why?
When I watch a movie, I like to be intellectually stimulated. Or watch young boys have sex with Nazis.
He says, I hate comedies because comedies are the movies that you rarely see get nominated for Oscars. It was so funny. I mean, that's a great idea to have filmmakers make pieces, especially for the Oscars, that you can't see anywhere else. I mean, it's another way to make the Academy Awards stand out from the other shows. But it was so funny seeing James Franco in that character from Pineapple Express sitting on the couch watching himself on the screen play in Milk, making out with Sean Penn.
Yeah.
That was the funniest moment.
That was funny.
It was kind of weird, but it was very, very funny. All in all, I think I gave it a B- earlier today. I might up that to a B upon reflection. I thought it was a pretty good Oscar show. Still too goddamn long, but there was some entertainment to keep me interested anyway.
A dude's teeth, A++. Couldn't be.
How about our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Harvey.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Harvey.
Thanks for joining us. I'm glad we got you today. A couple things we want to talk to you about. You got video on your site of the Octo Mom at a gas station.
Well, I mean, it's what, you know, half the country wants to do. She's got somebody filling the tank up for her, so she's hoity-toity now.
That's how she got pregnant with 8 babies.
Very good. And so then some woman recognizes her at the gas station and just goes off and starts screaming, look at what you're doing to taxpayers.
Oh, wow.
You're sponging off. I mean, just
awesome.
Just railed on her.
Everywhere she goes, and I see this on your show all week long, everywhere she goes, she gets surrounded by paparazzi as if she's Angelina Jolie, even though she wants to be. And she keeps screaming at them, I'm not a celebrity. I'm not a celebrity. But, I mean...
She so wants to be a celebrity.
Yes,
yeah,
she does.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Do you think she's secretly loving this, Harvey?
No, she's not secretly loving it. She's loving it. I mean, there's... She's not hiding anything.
She's outwardly loving it.
Well, I mean, it's like she goes to the Mac store because she knows she's doing interviews. I mean, come on. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
What is the deal with this guy who's on one of the morning television shows this morning who claims to be the sperm donor for all the babies, and she's saying he's not? What's that whole deal?
Well, the way I understand it, he was saying he was dating her way back when, and that she said she wanted his sperm, and he said he loved her and agreed to basically play along. So he's not sure if his sperm was used. He was talking about maybe wanting a DNA test. And
Harvey, that's where I'm confused. If she's giving you a pass, why don't you just run the other way? Why would he want a DNA test?
Well, according to the Post, and this is what according to what he supposedly told GMA,
yes.
That he said that she asked him for the sperm because she told him that she had cancer and had to act quickly.
Oh.
So that's pretty amazing when you think about
something
it.
Something she didn't? She lied about that?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Wow.
Well, this is according to him.
Sure.
So he thinks he might be the father. He doesn't know, and
well,
she's
DNA,
saying
he went to. It's like it's really funny, guys. He went to DNA test. It's like if you were him, wouldn't you not want to do?
That was my question.
I would run 100 miles an hour from her.
Exactly.
Well, there's no place this needs to be settled except on Maury Povich. I will
that's
accept
right.
nothing
well,
less than going on board
you
with the church.
Are,
absolutely,
you are not the father.
You are the father of this one, but not this one. It's weird. This is Harvey Levin on the line.
They got like 42 babies on the stage.
Yep.
This one, not this one.
Nope. Yes, no. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Harvey is, of course, from TMZ.com. He's been on our show hundreds of times over the years and almost weekly since his site went up. So people have come to identify us with you, Harvey. When they see you, they think of us. And we got a bunch of emails from listeners over the weekend who were really, really confused, and some were even upset that you guys chose to publish the Rihanna photo after the Chris Brown alleged beating. What can you tell us about the story of the photo and your decision to print it?
Well, this was a, you know, this is a photo of Rihanna sometime after she was allegedly beaten. I don't even think you can say allegedly at this point. I mean, when you see the picture.
Right. She was allegedly beaten by Chris Brown. She clearly was beaten up.
Yeah, clearly beaten up. So, this is not, by the way, I mean, this is what's so perplexing about it all. This is not an anonymous person. This is, you know, every media outlet in America has said that the alleged victim is Rihanna. It's
right.
Not like a nameless, anonymous person. They've said it. And in terms of her, they've all said it's Rihanna. So this picture comes along, and by the way, when we got it legally, and when we got it, we honestly believed it was not an LAPD photo.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Remember, this happened on a street. You know, this was not like in a private home or anything like that. This happened on the street. I'm still not convinced it's an LAPD photo, and the LAPD hasn't said it's definitely an LAPD photo.
But they have come out and said, we're very disappointed. Somebody's going to, you know, we're going to try and track down where the leak came from. Yeah.
But they haven't said it's definitely an LAPD photo. So, you know, that said, I mean, look. The Rihanna people are spinning the, you know, part of this thing. They just are. I mean, I'm just telling you, they are. And so are Chris Brown's people. They're both kind of spinning what happened. This is, you know, kind of the proof of what it is, because, you know, both sides are kind of putting their stories out there.
Right.
Is she backpedaling in a way? Is that what's going on?
What do you mean?
I mean, you said that her people are spinning it. I don't know, unless you're trying to somehow deny it now.
Well,
I don't know what there is to spin.
You've heard relatives come out. They're talking about it. They're talking about her reaction to it. There have been, you know, a lot of these sites are putting stories up. She's texting him. She's not texting him. She wants to get back with him. She doesn't.
God, I
hope
not.
You know, but you know, everybody's kind of like going back and forth on what's going on here. I mean, these pictures kind of like show you, okay, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's kind of spinning things. This picture shows, kind of, you know, this is the stark reality of it all.
But if Rihanna is the victim, Harvey, you're not doing her any favors by putting this image out there for people to see. She certainly can't be pleased that it's being shown.
Well, you know,
no woman would want this photo out there to be seen, right?
She didn't do anything wrong for this to happen to her either. This is not like, oh my God, you know, it's going to be public, you know, if this case ever goes to court, for sure. And, you know, there's no shame attached to, you know, to what happened to her. She was beaten.
Yeah,
you know,
I know. We have a, as you know, Harvey, my wife and I run a charity for abused women and children. It's really hard to get enough proof to prove that the guy did it. A lot of times they don't want to come forward. Anything
right.
that helps this case, I'm for. I'm glad you put the picture up.
Well, the picture does. I mean, listen, the picture, to me, it says one clear thing, which is even if Rihanna decides she doesn't want to participate in the prosecution,
right.
It's pretty clear they're going to prosecute him just based on the injury, and that's what we had heard before. But when you see it, it's pretty clear that's going to happen.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, it's an awful thing. So you say you got the photo legally, but you're not convinced it's an LAPD photo. What do you mean by that?
What I'm saying is when we got this photo, we did not believe it was an LAPD photo. I'm still, you know, they haven't said it's an. If you look at it, it looks like it's taken outside, and you know, again, this happened on a street. In Hancock Park.
Right.
It didn't happen in private.
Right.
And there were people on that street. And so, you know, one of her people came to pick her up. There were people, you know, neighbors out there. There were all sorts of things going on out there.
Right. Gotcha. All right. You'll continue to follow that story at TMZ.com. And, of course, the television show airs weeknights at Channel 11 at 6:30. Anything you're working on you want to tease real quick before we let you go, Harv?
Boy, kinda. I'm not really ready to do this, but we've just got what could be an amazing story that actually really intersects with Washington, D.C. and the whole economic crisis and the banking industry. Not ready to talk about it, but we've been working on this all week. Last week, very sexy. No, let me tell you something. If we do this, you're going to want to talk about it. Trust me.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now. Right now.
No, but you know what? I'm serious. If we put this up, we may put it up tomorrow. We may not. But if we do, you guys should call.
If we do, we would like to. If you do, we would like to have you on.
Okay, guys.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Harvey, thanks for coming on, man.
See ya.
Thank you. Bye now. Next year at the Emmys, they should give the dude an Emmy for the teeth on the Oscars. That's what I'm saying.
Love that dude.
Okay. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Ralph is on vacation this week. A quick look at the showbiz news. You know about the Oscars. Did you know that the Razzies were handed out this past weekend? Also, worst picture of the year was The Love Guru. I don't think anyone who saw it would disagree with that. It certainly earned it. And Mike Myers also won for worst actor in his performance.
That was not good at all.
That's the idea I'm getting here. Yeah.
The Pierce Brosnan won for Worst Supporting Actor in Mamma Mia. I never saw that movie because I'm not a woman or gay, but I understand he was the weakest link in that film. Lisa, would you agree?
I did not see that movie.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I
saw it because I'm both. And
right?
He was fine. He was,
really?
Yeah, I mean, for that movie.
He's not a great singer,
he
I heard.
So I always liked him. He was fine. I don't...
I love this category. Worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel went to Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. They won that award. And the actress who unfortunately did not show up to accept either of her awards, but Paris Hilton won two Razzies over the weekend. She won for Worst Actress in The Hottie and the Naughty, and she also won for Worst Supporting Actress in Repo the Genetic Opera. So congratulations to Paris Hilton. At least now you have something for the awards case.
Speaking of Paris Hilton, look for her on the Grammys next year as she is beginning a rap career.
Oh.
She was on Snoop Dogg's reality show. And she decided that she wanted to rap with Snoop. I'm positive that he wrote this, but she made it sound like they were just going to freestyle it, which Snoop can do, and I'm guessing Paris can't. But here's Paris Hilton rapping.
Boy, Snoop Dizzle. He's sexy. He's fine. He is.
I sure wish that was the whole clip. Okay, here's the clip.
What I really want to do.
So dope.
I want to freestyle with you.
All right.
You start it off, I'm going to get the end.
Yo, what's up? My name's P. Hizzle. I'm chilling in the clizzle with my homeboy, Snoop Dizzle. He's sexy, he's fine. He is the man of our time.
Yeah.
I love him. I love being in the club. I'm serving drinks, and I'm a thug.
Yeah.
And then Snoop goes on, but that's...
That is so not good.
That's P. Hizzle.
She is not a thug, by the way.
Not even close.
At all. And what is Snoop Dogg doing? I don't know what's happened to our man.
Well, I mean, I love Snoop. I don't think it makes him look bad, but she just
does. It makes him look bad. To allow her on his show, that is not entertainment.
Here's a little more from later in the show.
I got a singular bitch, and it's in my fast lane. Because when I'm not reading traffic, I'm selling cocaine. Because I'm a hustler. And my name is Lisa May. Moving all the yayo is a game I like to play.
Now that's true.
Now that is rap.
That is true.
She is a thug.
She is a thug.
And Paris Hilton's best friend, Nicole Richie, in the news again this week. And you know she's with Joel Madden of Good Charlotte. They have announced that they are pregnant with their second baby now. Here's the statement from Joel on the website. I am so happy to tell everyone that little Harlow is going to be a big sister. God has truly blessed my family. Hope you're feeling as good as I am now. Remember when Nicole was trouble, by the way? Now, she's fine.
She's more than fine. She's got her charity for people who can't afford stuff for their babies that she started.
That's true. Yeah,
she's actually doing some good stuff.
She's driving on the right side of the road. She's having all sorts of babies.
Here's from a little bit later in Snoop Show.
So check it. Let me see my crystal ball. I'm sure it's going to tell it all.
Yeah, come on.
We don't have much time, but I did want to mention that the Tyler Perry movie, Madea Goes to Jail, was number one at the box office over the weekend with more than $41 million. This guy is a sensation. I mean, he's made $1 billion in box office or something crazy with all these movies that he puts out. And I mentioned earlier that the only person I know who's ever been to see one of these Madea movies is our token blacklister, Anel, who emails in. Kevin and Bean, you know I got dragged kicking and screaming to that goddamn movie this weekend. The theater was full of white people. I liked being black a whole lot more when it wasn't the in thing. This whole Obama thing has completely backfired on me, Anel. So apparently it's no good.
You want to hear a little bit more from Snoop Show?
Sure.
All right.
I was 6'2" on my date of birth. I'd rather live on Pluto than planet Earth. B to the E to the A to the N. I consider my bulldog my best friend.
There you go.
It just gets worse, doesn't it?
It does.
By the way, speaking of bulldogs, little Linus, one of my puppies, tell me if this was a problem during the Oscars last night. He barks at applause.
Really? He barks when people applaud?
Yes. I don't know. There's something about the frequency of applause that he thinks is somebody knocking on the door or somebody barking or something like that. Can you imagine what it was like to try to watch the Oscars with him last night? He barks every time someone applauds.
I love dogs, but Linus has to go.
Puppy Lake, is that what you said? Today's celebrity birthday is little Dakota Fanning is growing up in front of our very eyes. She is 15 but sounds 60 when you hear her talk. Howard Jones, former K-Rock artist, 54 years old today. Oscar-winning actor Peter Fonda turned 69. Yeah. Kristen Davis from Sex and the City is 44. Patricia Richardson, who is the mom on Home Improvement, is 58. Actress Emily Blunt, 26. But the reason we celebrate today, Skippy from Family Ties, ladies and gentlemen. Actor Mark Price is 41 years old today. And that is the K-Rock Showbiz.
Skippy, we hardly knew ye.
What's Skippy doing these days, Mike? Any idea where he's been hiding himself?
He's in Vaseline Alley.
I want to thank all of our special guests today, including Spencer Pratt, for stopping by to celebrate being the biggest man pussy in the world. And thanks to our friend Adam Carolla, who's off the radio but can be heard podcasting at adamcarolla.com.
And thanks to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Oh, and Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, yeah.
This afternoon at 5, we have some more recap of the Academy Awards. We're going to continue to do our investigative series into the turf wars down at Mann's Chinese Theater.
Oh, good.
Because there's a lot of anger down there. Yeah. Batman, Superman, both really upset. And you don't want that.
So come on back this afternoon at 5. How about tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show? We're doing an Ask-A that I've been looking forward to for a long time.
We are doing Ask a Mortician tomorrow.
Ooh, yeah. Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's creepy.
And ever since early in our careers when Bean and I went to...
A morgue?
A mortuary, yeah. I had to leave. I had to go outside and wait. And Bean was in there sniffing around, so happy.
He was probably sawing things off.
Oh, so happy.
I love death. You guys know I love death.
And we also are going to call the San Diego Convention and Visitors Bureau about their slogan, Happy Happens.
Happy Happens.
I think we can come up with maybe a few suggestions for them tomorrow morning as well.
All right. All right. Don't go anywhere. Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes of nonstop K-Rock, including the Kings of Leon, also Social D. We got Weezer, the Chili Peppers, Incubus, the White Stripes, and more next on K-Rock. Right now, though, we got to take care of some business. There's trouble down there in Hollywood and Highland, by the way. It seems it's turf war happening. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have seen in front of Mann's Chinese Theater all the costume characters, especially if you watch Jimmy Kimmel Live. Mm-hmm. He always goes over there and messes with them. You know, there's a dude in a Batman outfit and a Superman outfit, and they take pictures with celebrities. Seems like they're pretty lame. There are also dudes down there selling their CDs, right, Psycho Mike? We sent you down there.
Yeah, totally. There's a bunch of mostly rappers down there trying to get people to listen to and then buy their CDs.
But they have headphones, and they say, listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and what's going on down there? We saw a story on the cover of the calendar section in the Times, I don't know, Thursday or Friday or something like that, about the turf war.
Last week there was an article about it in the Times, so Kevin went online and found video of these rappers just beating the snot out of some of these costumed characters.
Aww. Yeah.
So we had to figure out what was going on down there, because, you know, it's one thing if they're going to get in disagreements. It's another thing when it turns into violence.
Now, what's the beef, though? Is just who gets this portion of sidewalk? Is that what it is? Look, is it all about real estate?
Yeah. I mean, those costume characters do end up asking for a tip, you know, a lot of times if they take a picture. So that's their livelihood. That's their business. And these rappers are trying to sell their CDs. So it essentially becomes a turf war. You know, they feel like they're getting in the way of their sales. So I go down there with the K-Rock microphones. I just want to see what's going on. And the first guy I encounter is Darth Vader. I asked Mr. Vader, who is this crew of people that's causing the problems down here at Hollywood Highland?
It's a limited group. And it's their type.
I'm sorry, I thought you said we were talking to Darth Vader.
No, it is. Can't you tell that deep baritone voice?
That's Darth Vader?
That's Darth Vader.
Wow.
It's a limited group, and they're tightly associated, and they're trying to say that they run the boulevard.
Okay, can you give us a little bit more background on who this group is and what their deal is?
We could, but we have to move to the left because we're in a very bad spot right now.
Okay, let's do it.
Just several of the vendors, let's say, interfere with photos being taken, as and they would throw their CD into the middle of a group photo, and maybe a character would say, hey, let's wait a minute or something, and then they would just beat them down.
Now, Mr. Vader, you could actually kill people with your mind. You don't even need to fight.
Oh, I'd choke them out? Yeah. the Force is strong within me.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Vader. I appreciate it.
May the Force be with you.
Oh, dear God.
Look, if the rappers would throw the street E.
If you sound like that, don't try and act like you're really Darth Vader.
I had to beg him to take his helmet off, too. He's like, it might ruin my character here down here. The people see me, my real face. I said, dude, I can't do an interview if you have a mask on.
It's not like Disneyland where little kids will be traumatized.
I don't want to compromise the integrity of my character. So I got some insight from a costume character. I thought I'd approach one of the rappers and see what he had to say. This is Nothing But Heat.
Nothing But Heat.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you some questions for K-Rock Radio?
For what?
YouTube has a lot of videos of some of the guys out here engaging in violence.
What about it?
I would just like to know what's going on down here and what we can do to maybe, you know, spread some peace down here at Hollywood Highland.
Tell them to get off drugs.
You're saying that some of the superhero characters are on drugs?
Yeah, if they stop doing drugs, they'll stop fighting and stop being broken homeless and get a real job. Bitch.
Yeah.
So they're good down advice. There. So you're but saying that's a job.
If they stop doing drugs, and by the way, in the video on YouTube that I found, it wasn't like the costume character was dominating the fight. He was covering up like a little bitch.
Yeah.
So that's sure.
not what you want. So I see Superman and Batman hanging out together, which is nice. You know,
sure.
They're
good
colleagues.
See them get
and
along
stuff,
and all
you know,
that.
Chit chatting. So I approached them and asked them what they had to say about the whole situation.
It's no good, you know, because we're out here to make it.
Okay, wait. Who's that?
That's Superman. That's a Man of Steel. Can't you tell?
That's Superman.
Yeah, that's a Man of Steel.
Wow.
It's no good, you know, because we're out here to make it fun for everybody. And when people are getting beat up, that's not fun at all.
You're the Man of Steel. You can handle yourself, right?
I can.
Batman, you're an actual ninja. What would you do if some of these street musicians tried to step to you? All right. Now hold on. Now, you have an image you have an idea of what this might sound like. It's Batman,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your hider.
It could be the Christian Bale Batman or maybe even like the Adam West. He has that big stately, erratic inflection.
Right.
Listen to this.
Just tell him to step to the plate.
No. That's Batman?
That is not Batman.
Really?
Batman. I just told him to step to the plate.
What does that mean, by the way? Is that
well,
a bat that's batting
cryptic,
reference?
Cryptic superhero huh. talk. Superman started to give me some pretty good ideas of what we can do to solve this problem.
Okay, fantastic.
Guys, what can we do to help you guys, you know, to help spread peace around here at Hollywood Highland? I want to see everybody getting along.
One thing I was actually thinking about was permits. If we did a permit thing out here through the city, we'd be able to also take some of that money and get security for some of the characters and some of the tourists that are going by as well.
All right. So he's saying rent out essentially space on Hollywood Highland where they can each have
right.
their own little plot.
So they can have security?
I guess so.
All right.
I don't know. Well, I'm starting to feel like maybe we've made some progress down there. Superman's
right.
got ideas. It seems like Superman and Batman are getting along. And then I talked to this next gentleman. And all that went away real quickly. I really see very little hope after talking to the next great musical star. What's your name?
Lil Neck Bone.
You're an artist out here on the street?
Yup.
I've been seeing some fights on YouTube between some of the rappers and some of the characters out here on the streets. What do you have to say about that?
Man, all I gotta say is I don't give a f*** who it is, man. I'm trying to sell my music, you know what I'm saying? I don't give a f*** if it's Batman. I don't give a f*** if it's Johnny Depp, Robin Hood, whatever the f*** it is. Peter Pan, I don't give a f***. You know what I'm saying? I'm all about making that paper, man. You know what I'm saying? It's a recession shit. I need my money, man. I'm about my music. Don't get in the way of my music or you don't have a problem with me.
Well, good attitude. I mean, that'll go a long way.
Lil Neck Bone.
He doesn't care if it's Robin Hood or Johnny Depp.
He doesn't.
You know what I'm saying?
Even if it's Johnny Depp, not just a costume character, he doesn't care.
Do you really care how good his music is? His name's
nope.
Lil Neck Bone. I'm in.
I'm buying one. I know that.
Did you buy a CD and bring it back?
Well, no.
Well, what is...
Leslie.
He's Little Neck Bone.
I know.
What does he have to do?
What does it take to impress you?
The last thing you told me, too, was, man, I don't work for free.
I'm watching the Academy Awards, and Heath Ledger wins, but don't you think that was kind of a dead giveaway? Get it? Dead giveaway?
Yeah, that's not
dude.
That isn't
that's
fun.
Yeah,
that's not
it's
good.
Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. By the way, I forgot to mention this, except from when we first came on this morning, that Kevin cost me $1,000 because I was going to Vegas to take those 1-to-100 odds on Heath Ledger winning that Oscar, and I would have won $1,000 if I just put down $100,000.
Here's the thing: you have to put down $100,000 to win $1,000.
Yeah,
would have been worth it though.
Well, sure. Now that you know he won,
well, you get. It's not like you lose the $100,000. You get that money plus an additional $1,000.
But right. you do take the chance of losing it. It
right.
may be slim, but there's the chance.
If he loses,
and then you're hanging on a rope.
What was the chance? What was the chance that he wasn't going to win this Oscar?
1%.
First of all, you're the guy that drives around from Best Buy to Best Buy to get a lower price on a CD. If it's $11.99, you want $11.98. You're not going to put up $100,000.
If you have enough liquid capital to make a $100,000 bet, then what do you care about the $1,000 anyway, you dolt?
Free money. They're handing out free money in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, I let you asshats talk me out of it. I should have done it.
I went to Vegas this past weekend, and I can guarantee they were not handing out free money.
You know that for a fact.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about the Oscars. We don't have much time because the man hates us, but last night was the 81st Annual Academy Awards. In case you were wondering if some of the changes that they made paid off in the ratings, so far overnight preliminary ratings make it look like that is the case. Up 6% in the top 50 markets last night. Of course, you know the Oscars have been doing nothing but losing viewers every single year, so they did everything they could to mix it up last night with a new host, Hugh Jackman. They had a bunch of different presenters from usual. They had a bunch of movie montages different from the way they usually do it. They really changed things up last night. I thought it was a pretty good show. I don't think it needed to be 3.5 hours. I think some of my complaints every year are that they put too many awards that I don't care about on the show. But the stuff that they could control, I think they did a pretty nice job with. What'd you guys think?
I do too, including the fact that the president of the Academy didn't give a speech.
Yes.
That was a nice touch.
Never more happy than to see that.
That was a nice touch. A lot of people wondered how Hugh Jackman was going to do. Of course, he's a very charismatic, popular actor. He plays Wolverine in those movies. He is the sexiest man alive, and he's got a big Broadway background. So there was a lot of singing and dancing and a little bit of a traditional monologue. He came out and did some jokes.
But as you know, this is my first year as host, but that's not the only thing that is different this year. Everything is being downsized because of the recession. Next year, I'll be starring in a movie called New Zealand.
Which, by the way, of course, he was in the big bomb Australia last year.
Sure.
Somewhere the Flight of the Conchords guys are just weeping that they're ragging on New Zealand on the Oscars.
And due to cutbacks, the Academy said they didn't have enough money for an opening number. Now, you know what? I'm going to do one anyway. Yeah. Because, you know, that's just the way I roll.
Yeah, that's how he rolls.
Who are these people that applaud that? Who goes, yes, he's going to do an opening number. Yes!
His friends.
So hoping that was going to happen.
I think Hugh Jackman is so well-liked in Hollywood that people were really rooting for him to do a good job. I think they gave him kind of the benefit of the doubt, especially when he first came out, and they were hoping he'd have a good show, you know, because they're going to sit there and watch him for 3.5 hours. You want the dude to be funny.
Sure.
So he did a Billy Crystal-style opening monologue where he did songs about a lot of the nominated films, including when he dragged Anne Hathaway up on stage, and they did a little tribute to Frost Nixon with Hugh Jackman playing David Frost interviewing Anne Hathaway as President Nixon. It was very funny.
Why didn't you burn the tapes?
I don't know what I'm supposed to say here.
18 minutes, all erased.
I mean, it's an honor. I just would have loved a heads up.
America deserves an apology.
Franklin Jello was sitting right next to me.
So that was pretty funny. Lisa May, I thought of you several times last night. There was so much singing and dancing on the show that I thought for a chick like you who loves Broadway, you must have been in heaven.
I was. And to hear the songs that they went through, the old musicals, that was fun for
me. I left the room. That's what I wanted to hear was a little bit of All That Jazz on my TV in 2009. Thanks for that.
Come on. That's a great song.
Kevin, a couple of people worth mentioning. What's with your girlfriend, Tilda Swinton? What's going on with her?
Wow, is she unattractive.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about her. If you're trying your best and you just don't look good, God knows that's me. Well, okay, whatever. But she tries. She is actively ugly. I mean, she must stand in front of the mirror and go, how can I be uglier tonight than ever before?
What can I do to my hair to make me look worse? My makeup? What can I wear that's hideous and unflattering?
Not
all
attractive,
of those things.
That woman.
I remember.
Or man, or whatever that is.
Was it Michael Clayton she won the Oscar for?
Yes.
Okay. That's when you first started noticing how she looked exactly like David Bowie, right?
Yes, yes.
And last night, more than ever, she looked like David Bowie. And here she is on stage presenting the Best Supporting Actress, the first acting award of the night.
The Oscar goes to Penelope Cruz.
It's not going to be 45 seconds. I can say that right now.
Uh-oh.
Has anybody ever fainted here? Because I might be the first one. Thank you so much to the Academy.
They could have left Penelope Cruz up on stage all night, by the way. I'd have been very,
well,
very happy.
Well, that's the thing. It also doesn't help Tilda Swinton that Penelope Cruz is the next woman on stage.
That's a great point.
Beauty and the Beast.
Outstanding point. Another funny speech last night from the last guy you'd expect. In fact, I was almost surprised, Kevin, you weren't there to ask if he'd do the speech as Spicoli. But Sean Penn won his second Oscar last night for his performance in Milk. Here's Michael Douglas presenting that award.
And the Oscar goes to Sean Penn.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns. I did not expect this, but I want it to be very clear that I do know how hard I make it to appreciate me often.
Well, then don't be such a dick when you're not acting, okay? That's all we're saying.
I love that.
Like that he admitted it, too. Yeah. That was kind of cool.
It does show a little bit of self-awareness. That's
we should
for
have
sure.
him on the show. That'd be cool.
He'll never come on again. Oh. And, of course, Slumdog Millionaire was the big winner. Of course, it won the Best Picture, Best Director. It won 8 of the 10 it was up for. We just have time, really, for one more. And this is maybe one of the great speeches in Oscar history. I don't even know the guy's name, but he is from Japan, and he won their entry in the Best Short Animated Film. And an unlikely a reference as you'll ever hear at the Oscars at the end of this man's speech.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Academy, thank you, animation, thank you, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
You don't expect a stick shout out at the Oscars, but well done, my friend, well done. Ralph Garmer's on vacation this week, but we are going to fill you in with what's going on in the world of showbiz. I promised you Depeche Mode news a few minutes ago here on K-Rock. We were playing Wrong from the new Depeche Mode CD called Sounds of the Universe, out on April the 21st. Listen to this, by the way. They're releasing a standard 13-track CD, also a special edition CD-DVD, also a double vinyl set that comes with downloads. You can also get a deluxe box set with 3 CDs, a DVD, and extras including enamel badges, a poster, art cards, and 2 84-page books of lyrics and photos.
Wow.
I'm so confused.
You got your choice of how you want to buy the new Depeche Mode album, I guess.
Can you just buy the album?
Yes, that is one of the options,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The box set, the last one I mentioned, by the way, has remixes, demos, alternate tracks from their last few albums, including Violator, Songs of Faith and Devotion, Music for the Masses, Playing the Angel, as well as previously singles that weren't on CD. Just bunches and bunches and bunches of stuff for Depeche Mode fans. And, of course, they're also announcing a new world tour that's going to kick off July 24th in Toronto, with dates running through September 5th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So there's going to be a lot of dates in the United States this summer for Depeche Mode. They've been gone for a while, and it'll be good to have them back. They're one of the all-time great K-Rock bands.
That is a good live band.
Oh, yeah.
Very excited about that. You know, you've seen the video of Bill O'Reilly going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. He just loses it. We'll do it live! We'll do it live!
We all yell that now in the office.
Yeah, and then there was a parody of the little kid, little Bill O'Reilly, wearing a gigantic suit. Very funny. Also on the Internet Roundup. Well, little Bill O'Reilly was talking about the some of the movies that were nominated for Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah?
Here's how
he has to hate those. He has to hate the Hollywood liberals in their movies, right?
Lots of great films this year. Let's start with Brad Pitt's movie, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
I liked it better when it was called Forrest Gump. Run, audience, run!
Okay. What about Milk, Sean Penn's new movie about the gay rights activist?
There's some milk I don't want on my upper lip. I gave it 2 thumbs up. Some dude's butt!
All right, so there you go. That's,
oh, my God.
Wow, I don't like where that's going at all.
I don't like where it went. I don't know where it's going.
That's right. This weekend, by the way, was not only the Academy Awards, it was also the Razzies. We had covered the nominations earlier. Now we can cover who your winners are. Worst Picture of the Year for 2008 was The Love Guru. I don't know anyone who saw that movie who wouldn't agree with that choice.
Yeah, I saw it. It was just terrible.
Even with Jessica Alba, it was that bad.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Mike Myers also won for Worst Actor in The Love Guru, same movie. Pierce Brosnan got the Worst Supporting Actor award for his performance in Mamma Mia. Now, I understand he's not a trained singer, but the whole movie is kind of played like a campy project,
yeah,
right?
I watched it. I got dragged to it. It was fine.
Yeah.
He was fine.
Yeah.
But the big winner has to be Paris Hilton, who won acting awards in 2 different categories. Worst Actress in The Hottie and the Naughty, which I'm sorry to say I didn't see, and Worst Supporting Actress in Repo the Genetic Opera, which apparently I also missed. But Paris, congratulations. You've got something now for your award case.
Thanks to the K-Rock listener who sent me the link for Paris Hilton on Snoop Dogg's TV show.
Oh, yeah?
Snoop Dogg's, what is it, Fatherhood? Familyhood?
I can't remember.
He's got a new one.
That's a new one.
Yeah, this is another one. I didn't, the last couple of Snoop shows have left this reviewer cold, so I have not tuned in for the new one yet. And now I guess you've given me proof why I shouldn't.
Well, Paris Hilton was on the show, and Snoop gets her to rap. And I'm not positive this is going to be her new career. I'm not positive.
You know what I really want to do?
So dumb.
I want to freestyle with you.
All right.
You start it off. I'm going to get the end.
Yo, what's up? My name's P. Hizzle. I'm chilling in the clizzle with my homeboy, Snoop Dizzle. He's sexy. He's fine. He is the man of our time.
Yeah.
I love him. I love being in the club. I'm serving drinks. And I'm a thug.
All right, so that's what you got going.
Wow.
Wow.
She's a thug, B.
Yeah, that's what Paris Hilton's known for, is being a thug.
She is a thug.
And finally, Paris's best friend in the whole wide world, Nicole Richie, who has managed to get married and raise a family, something Paris will probably never be able to do, is still with Joel Madden from Good Charlotte. They announced over the weekend that she is pregnant again. Of course, their little one, Harlow, I think, is only about a year old, and apparently she's going to be a big sister, says their website. God has truly blessed my family, says Joel Madden. Hope you're all feeling as good as I am right now. So, Nicole Richie, who, by the way, really turned her life around. There was somebody who we thought was heading the wrong direction. She looks great now.
Seems like it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Still married to that dude from Good Charlotte, but other than that.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And one day she's going to wake up and she's going to realize that. And that's going to be a very, very bad surprise. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about Kristen Davis from Sex and the City? Before that, Melrose Place. She is 44 years old today. Mark Price, the actor who played Skippy on Family Ties.
How happy can you be about Skippy?
Oh, Skippy! Woo!
Right? I know his name.
Hi, Skippy!
All right.
Now, Mallory was down with Skippy or not down with Skippy?
Oh, no. Mallory hated Skippy, but he sure did love her, and he would come over every day, and he would try to make advances at Mallory, but she would not give him the time of day because she was too busy with Nick, and he would say, ew.
You almost make me miss that show. Hottie actress Emily Blunt is 26 today. Dakota Fanning is 15. Hard to believe already. Howard Jones, former big-time K-Rock artist of the 80s and 90s, turns 54 today. Oscar-winning actor Peter Fonda is 69. And that is the K-Rock Show Biz Beat.
All right. Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have a great show for you. We're going to do Ask a Mortician.
Wow.
Ask a Mortician. We have a professional mortician that's going to be coming in, and you can ask whatever questions you've always had of that person.
That is not a job that most people even consider.
Nope.
But I bet there's some people who probably grew up wanting to do that, and then there are other people who just kind of fall into it and never would have imagined that that would be their life, but they end up doing it for a living. And, I mean, I guess there's probably some good things about it, right?
It's steady work, I'll tell you that. I don't care what the economy's doing, people die.
I'm just glad someone else is doing it.
Yeah.
So I don't have to.
This place is dead.
Well, that's true.
Also, tomorrow morning, things you forgot that you had when you went through airport security.
Oh.
I don't know if you saw recently, but Johnny Knoxville forgot that he had a grenade in his carry-on.
Honest mistake.
A grenade. We're going to call the San Diego Convention and Visitors Bureau. We're going to perhaps suggest some new slogans other than, quote, happy happens.
What's wrong with happy happens?
I don't think it's true. We have more tickets for you to go to the world premiere of Watchmen and K-Fed is Fat tomorrow morning.
Fantastic. All of that starting at 5 a.m. tomorrow here on K-Rock, but don't go anywhere. Nicole Alvarez is up next with 60 minutes of commercial-free K-Rock music, including The Weezer, also Kings of Leon. We got Linkin Park, Green Day, Apocalyptica, and more next on K-Rock.